listening to Nowhere on Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
1, 2, 1.
That's a good strong Muay Thai. Quality's very rare these days.
Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays.
Hey, Ramsey, he said he knows you're here. You know somebody named Luther?
This is Ramsey.
You're lucky to be alive, Ramsey. You should have let the robot disarm it.
I saw you watch television. What's on your mind?
I watch, I look, I listen. I'm watching you now.
Yeah, right. What's on your mind, Luther?
You're standing by the desk in the middle of the room, punching buttons on the console, trying to trace this call, which won't do shit. Because I'm calling from a mobile phone. Now you're looking around. Now you're cupping your hand over the receiver.
He's tapped into the closed-circuit TV. Kill that monitor!
I can't hear what you're saying now, but you're right. I've tapped into the TV line. That wasn't very nice, Ramsey.
How'd he do that?
You're probably wondering how I did that.
What do you want?
I want my girl, Ramsey. I know she's there. I want you to turn her over to me.
No way.
If you don't, I'll kill her. And then I'll kill you. You can't run away, Ramsey. I'll find you. My little machines will find you wherever you go.
This is the man at the railroad station. I want a ticket just for one. He said, well, you will see where you want to go, miss. Oh, destination anywhere, east or west, I don't care. You see, my baby don't love me no more.
I have to fart.
Would you have any rock salmon, please?
Oh, sorry, mister. We only have salmon.
Feeding time. Come and get it, boys.
All right.
Good. Chinese. Good choice. Yes, first.
You don't like rice? Tell me, Michael, how could a billion Chinese people be wrong? Come on.
How are those maggots?
Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots. How do they taste?
Leave them alone.
Pretty sad.
No hard feelings, huh?
No.
Why don't you try some noodles?
They're worms.
I mean, they're worms.
Tony!
They're only noodles, Michael.
Worms.
That's enough.
Do
And I'm spent. No, hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's Nowhere in Mulberry, film, television, pop culture, every Friday. Sorry for blowing out your ears there. But it's what I do. But hey guys, welcome to the show. I am the J-Strom. We are here live from the pop culture district of Mulberry. Pretty awesome, huh?
It's beautiful here this time of year.
Whoa, Bill, you're back. Hey, Bill.
I am back.
Welcome back, buddy.
I went on my quest and I've returned.
Yes, you're on walkabout, mate.
I was. Wait, that was more. Never mind.
Oh, I guess, shouldn't we? Steve in the Pop Culture Salad! Hey! Oh, I think he's at home asleep, Bill. I think that's what that means.
Have you heard anything from him? Did he text you?
All he said is he's on his way. So,
all right. So that means he could be anywhere.
He could be an hour away. He could be a minute away. We don't know. He'll just show up. But, you know, last week on Hell's Kitchen, when they had that little clip there of Ben sleeping, I was like, that is gold. That drop will last the entire run of Nowhere in Mulberry because it always signifies Steven is asleep somewhere, right? Like where,
anywhere.
Where
he's asleep on his motorcycle at a red light.
Oh, I wonder where Steven is right now, Bill. Where could he be? But Bill, you were gone.
I love that music that kind of goes along with the exhale that wah 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 wah.
Yeah. Did they compose that specifically for that scene? That's awesome.
In-house. Yeah, that's.
How's it feel to be back,
got a good
Bill?
Credit on that one.
Back in Mulberry, did you have a good vacation?
I really did. It was nice being with family. I'm not a real big beach person. I love the smell of the beach. That, you know, that salty, nasty, iodine-y smell. There's just something about it that I like. But I'm not a big sun person, so I mainly spent my time at the private pool we had at the house. But I still got sunburned.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I like to have a pool. I like to have privacy and stuff, too. But the beach is cool to hang out at, but I don't like swimming in the ocean at all.
Well, we had jellyfish issues the first couple days.
Yeah, that's enough
like
for me to stay on
of
land.
Them.
Yeah. Wow. It,
the night we got there, my brother-in-law went out and said that there was probably 40 of them in front of the house.
Holy
that
crap.
Just washed up on shore. But after like two or three days, they went away. But it was pretty bad there for the first couple days.
Yeah, I bet. That would keep me from the water the entire trip if I just saw jellyfish, you know?
Yeah, I was surprised that my sisters would go in and they'd still get stung, but they didn't care. I didn't get it.
Did they get stung?
Yeah, a bunch of times.
Holy crap! I thought it was like debilitating pain, like you.
No, they're like tiny jellyfish, not like the big man of war type.
Oh man!
But like the tiny ones, kind of like a bee sting. They said
that's enough for me to. I'm a pussy.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of. I have issues with bodies of water that anything lives in.
Yeah.
If something lives there, I'm not supposed to be in it. So that's been my philosophy since I was a kid. I remember we'd go to this lake and I could see the minnows. I'm like, no, I'm sorry, I can't swim in that because there's fish.
Yeah,
that's their house. That's not mine.
That's funny, But, you know, we did the show for 2 weeks when you were gone, and we had Adam and Laura fill in. Did you get to hear them at all on the show?
I did. I listened to both episodes, and I was sad that I couldn't be there because it sounded like so much fun.
Yeah, it was. They did a good job.
You know, it sounded like they had a really nice time, and I was like, man, I want to be there too.
Hilarious.
Yeah, Laura, she, you know, through the run of the show, she'd never really listened. Maybe I was like, hey, Laura, listen to this podcast thing I'm doing. And, you know, I play it and she's like, oh, you know, she didn't know what a podcast was back in the day or whatever.
But, good for you, pat on the head.
Yeah, like, oh, that's cute with your little friends or whatever, you know. But I think in recent times, you know, she started listening. I think she started with like Lost podcasts. She would listen to those. And she was like, I'll check out yours, see what you guys say about Lost. And then she started listening to the whole show. And that's how she got into it finally. So it took about 5 years, but she finally did. So that's good, yeah. Right?
I'm always trying to get my sisters into it. Shannon's pretty good with it. She'll listen every once in a while, but not regularly.
Oh, wait.
Sometimes I'm glad they don't listen. Oh, boy, I know who's there.
Whenever you hear that sound.
The late boy.
Hey, what's up, Steven?
What's happening? Hey, Bill.
Hey, Steven.
How was your vacation, pal?
Excellent.
Awesome.
We just talked about it. Thanks for asking.
Smoking hot.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bill's back, Steven, huh? How about that?
Very nice. Very good.
Very cool, huh?
Are you ready just to just chat, Bill?
I am. I'm all bottled up and ready to go.
I was like, you know what? That does drive me nuts now that you say it. Like when we took a couple of weeks off before and like Hell's Kitchen started and all these other shows, I'm just like, no one to talk about to it with.
Nobody else watches it. It's just like, yeah. Hey, I want to talk to somebody about this.
Yeah.
You talk to your dad, and your dad's like, I don't care.
I can only talk so much to my dad.
Well, it's like, yeah, my wife doesn't watch Hell's Kitchen or any of the shows. I can talk about it with my daughter, because she'll sit there and watch it with me.
But you can talk to it, you know, by to yourself, like, that was really good. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's what we have the show for, really, for us to all touch base on these shows and have fun discussing it and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, have you missed hearing voicemail, I hope, huh?
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. Very convincing.
You know what? I like voicemail. I do. It's just sometimes it can be a little rambling.
No.
A little rambling.
No way. This is all good stuff. It's all gold.
Okay, good.
The first voicemail we have is Ross. Let's check it out.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry, it's Ross calling from beautiful, sunny Clear Lake, California, the teen pregnancy capital of California, which is actually the biggest case of false advertising I've ever seen, because this lake looks like somebody dumped a big bucket of the ooze from Ninja Turtles 2 all over the place, and it's like a inch-thick layer of algae everywhere, so it kind of sucks, but other than that, we're having a good time. Just wanted to call in and say that I really enjoyed the show last week, and I really, really enjoyed your sister, Laura. I'm kind of wondering why she wasn't the first choice for the Mulberry Newswoman in the first place. She sounds to me like she likes to get silky and dirty at the same time.
What does that mean?
I'm very excited to have Bill back,
very
hopefully,
nice.
And keep up the good work. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, thanks, Ross. I don't know what that means, but I think it means
what
she gets into the show.
What is it about women on the show that makes guys, like, crazy?
You know what? It's like I said earlier, Bill, that Laura just didn't listen back in the early days. You know, she didn't know what we were doing and stuff like that.
She was newlywed, too. Fairly newlywed
time. Well, you tell people, hey, I'm doing a podcast. They don't know what the hell you're doing. You know, they still don't.
You're sitting at home, you know, talking into a microphone
with your little
to yourself.
Friends or whatever? Yeah. Little show? And it's like, what do I have? Dwarf friends? What are you talking about?
How's your little show?
Dwarf friends.
How's your little show doing with your little friends and your little house and your little life? Oh, well, that doesn't sound condescending at all. Well, it's doing a little bit fine. How's that?
A little bit fine.
But thanks a lot, Ross. I'll pass that on to Laura, that she's silky and dirty at the same time. I'm not going to pass it on. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think she's in the chat room, anyway, so
she's
fully aware of the silky dirtiness.
I'm hoping what he means is getting into the show.
Yeah.
I can't do this for you, Ross.
I think she just turned it off.
Logged out.
Perverts.
Right. We got another voicemail, this one from Nick. Let's check it out. It's Neek.
Hey, Neek.
Neek Reavers.
Hey, guys. It's Nick again. I figured I'd leave you another voicemail message. Talking to Bill earlier this line on Facebook, and he wanted me to share the story of my wonderful one-year anniversary with you guys, you know, just so you guys could be jealous about how awesome it was. And anyways, me and the wife, we decided to go out for dinner, and pretty nice and everything. And the thing is, we thought we were playing it smart. Told my mom, who was watching our son, that dinner was starting at 7 o'clock, when in reality our reservations were at 6. So we figured, hey, got a little hour in there, go back home, you know, do what married couples do, you know, make some cookies. But anyways, we get home, and it's about 9 o'clock, or no, it's about 8 o'clock, and all suddenly, you know, acting like married couples do.
Sounds like a kid doing
cookies,
the theme, the good, the bad, the ugly in the background.
It's my mom.
Ooh.
She wanted to come over so my other brother could go through our garbage.
Huh?
He's in the scrapping metal now, and he wanted to go through our garbage for whatever reason, and they figured, oh, we'll get there an hour before they should get there, just so he could go through our garbage without us knowing. So, anyways, most inconvenient time ever. Yeah, it was pretty awful. She came back home, dropped off our son, who was high on sugar, and he didn't go to bed till about midnight. So anyways, the night ended on a complete sucky note. I'm sure Steve knows how that goes, but anyways, this morning a little bit better there, because I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a really big Alien fan, and I bought tons and tons of those Sideshow collectibles by them, and my crowning trophy is I have the life-size alien head. And while my wife was sleeping in the morning, I decided to pull that out of the closet and put that almost face-to-face with her. And just left it there, and when I was in the shower, I heard a big, giant scream. She woke up with the thing about an inch away from her face. So
awesome.
That was my anniversary gift.
Not
going to
be making any cookies, huh?
Anyways, I'm going to start calling back weekly now, and I was talking to Bill about this too, and I got the most awesome segment. It's going to be Rick's Reviews from Australia. It's going to be Nick's Boob Review. See, I figured since you already got guys calling you up, getting your reviews on movies and everything, you guys should have someone calling up, giving you reviews on boobs. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch TV shows, movies and everything, and not rate them on how good they are, but rate them on how good the boobs are. For instance, this week, I've been trying to catch up on True Blood, which, as you guys know, is unbelievable for boobs. I mean, you got some of the most stellar boobs I've ever seen. I mean, who would ever know that watching that show that Anna Paquin would be taking off her top like she does? And, yeah, it's
I have to
awesome.
Agree on that one.
So,
anyways, I didn't expect that.
For an example, True Blood gets 4 boobs out of 4 boobs. Another example would be The Office that I've been watching a lot this week. The Office... yeah, not so good. I mean, you got Jenna Fisher, and she's pretty good-looking, but the only one really taking off her clothes is Meredith, and, again, besides Steve, no one wants to see that. So,
who is Steve?
Anyways, the Office would be one boob
Steve
and a nipple out of 4 boobs. So, anyways, that's what I'm going to be bringing to you guys. I'm not going to be surprised if you don't play my voicemails anymore, but anyways, I'm going to try. So, all right, guys, have a good night, have a good show, and I'll be listening as Poopy Stinker Finger, I don't even know what my names are anymore, but anyway, that's to do with poop and fingers, so that's what I'll be in the chat room.
Does anyone know what he's talking
more
about?
Poop on my toes in the chat room.
Oh. I just want to know what was going on in the background, because it's like someone going, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
I think that was his little one.
His little one was... and having fun back there.
That was hilarious.
He was chatty. He thought he was on the phone call, too.
Come on, Nick. You got a kid in the room. You're talking about boobs? Come on.
I know about boobs, too, Dad.
But thanks for that voicemail, Nick. Let's go ahead and check out another voicemail. This one from Adam. Hey, Adam.
What's up, Nowhere in Mulberry? This is Adam from the Bay Area. Hey, just calling to send in a voicemail saying that it was an honor and I had a great time being on the show and had a good time talking to Jason, Steven, and Laura. Good times. Miss Bill, can't wait to hear from him on tonight's show. Man, excuse me, I had to clear my throat there. Not sure if I'll be able to listen in live tonight, but I think I will definitely get the download going on Tuesday morning. My friend Tom, that I meet with every now and again, have a cup of coffee with and chatted up about different things. I told him I was going to be on the show these past 2 weeks, so he's been listening, and now he's hooked. And he wanted me to tell you guys that he is happy with the winner of the art show. I forget the exact name of it. Who wants to be an art millionaire? Who wants to be an artist?
The next
survival
great
artist,
American
held art museum, something like that. One of those.
The
titles.
World's greatest American
artist.
But anyways,
I hope you guys have a great show. Can't wait to listen, and glad that Bill will be back. Can't wait to hear his Bam Margera like voice. Or that's not. I've never put that together, but my friend Eric thinks he sounds like Bam Margera. Anyways, talk to you guys later. Can't wait to hear the show.
Huh? What is he talking
Who's
about?
Who's Bam Margera?
Bam.
Is that an insult or a compliment?
No, he's one of the...
He's that guy on MTV.
Yeah, you know, he's on MTV, and he's the one who kind of, like, destroys his mom's house.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy that wears the guy liner.
He wears the toboggan cap, and he's a skater.
He's an asshole.
He's not saying you... He just said you sound like him. You are.
I sound like an asshole? Thanks.
I have no idea what his voice sounds like. But
Neither do I. I think he has a show on Sirius, but I've never listened to it.
That guy's got a radio show, too?
Like
Jesus.
Me, I wouldn't listen to it.
Yeah, it was the Wild Boys is what his original group.
Wow. He gets his own show. Okay. All right, we got another voicemail. This one from Rick. Hey, it's Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey guys, it's Rick here. I'm being quiet because everyone's asleep and I don't want to wake them up. So you got my quiet, sexy voice today.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Yeah. Why didn't you play my voicemail last week? No, I'm just kidding. I listened to the end. I know you played it. I can't believe you'd think that I'd just turn it off when you didn't play my voicemail. It's not like that. I just like listening to the show. And then when you was like, yeah, I got one during the... You got to play it later. I was like, yes, finally, it's worth listening to the show. like, where's Bill? When's he getting back? I need some updations.
Some what?
Updations? Wow. That's pretty good, Rick. But, you know, the Laura...
It's time for updations.
...doing a good job, but I'm still wondering, where's Bill? I miss Bill. Where's my Bill?
I'm nobody's Bill, Rick.
And as you can probably tell, I'm completely sober. Well, maybe you can't tell, but that's the truth. Because, I've been drinking too much, so I'm stopped.
He's drying up for a while.
So much. No, it's true. Don't laugh. I'm trying to be a better man. This was Rick from Australia.
Awesome. Thanks, Rick. All right, Bill, you were missed.
His quiet, sexy boy.
You know, that's nice to know. It's just sad that it has to come from such a creepy source. No, I kid. I kid.
Oh, poor Rick.
I love Rick.
No, we all missed you, Bill. And what do you say we talk about some entertainment? Because you saw some movies today, right?
I did.
Let's check it out. Entertainment!
No way.
Yes way. Entertainment. Now, Bill, which movie do you want to talk about first? You saw The Expendables and Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Might as well talk about them in order, The Expendables being first. I figured I would get The Expendables out of the way because that was the one I was the most hesitant about.
You were hesitant about seeing it?
I was hesitant about the quality. I had heard so much, you know, Stallone doing his action movie, bunch of guys together, kind of an ode to the 80s action film, and I got none of that from it. I got absolutely none of the ode to 80s action in it. It just didn't, I guess, you know, the 80s action films weren't known for their complicated plots. They were normally pretty simple, but I just, you know, it just didn't work for me at all. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It's not a very good film.
I think the main thing it needs to be is just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think that's what it was lacking. Stallone tends to go preachy with things. I would almost equate The Expendables to the sequel to Rambo. It was basically the same method of plot choice. The someone needs help. This is a bad situation. I shouldn't get involved. Oh, wait, maybe I should. Let's do this. That was pretty much it. And there were these really, like, heavy-handed moments where they all gathered up at the Expendables building that Mickey Rourke is a tattoo artist now, and he's an ex-Expendable, and he's, like, the wise old Expendable that brings up heavy information and says, oh, you need to do this, or no, you shouldn't do this. It's just so laughably bad a couple moments where, like, this really reflective story Mickey Rourke told about what's right and what's wrong and how he's lost his soul. And I was just like, oh, come on, just kill some people, blow some heads up, slice them in half, do what you got to do. Just get to it already.
How cool is it seeing all the cast and everything? You know, all those guys teamed up together.
Honestly, once they get to where they're going, they're not teamed up anymore. They're each doing their own thing. Like, Stallone goes off to save a girl, and the other team goes off and blows a bunch of shit up. They separate too much. If there was more moments of them all together laying waste to things, I would like it more.
So it's, maybe there, it's not like the A team or the losers where they're infiltrating a place or whatever like that.
No, really, just that kind of happens at the beginning
because it's about their past or whatever.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
See, I was hoping this would pick up like from I thought Rocky Balboa in the latest Rambo. Those both were a lot of fun. And I thought that they were good quality movies that Stallone did.
Yeah, but it's just, I think this movie desperately needed to be tongue-in-cheek.
To lighten up.
Because there are moments where, you know, there's comedic moments that work, some don't.
It's all about the character, the repartee between members of the team and stuff like that.
And it feels very forced. Or anything,
mm-hmm.
You know.
These guys don't feel like they've been a team for years. I didn't get that from any of them. You know, Randy Couture is in it, an MMA fighter, and his claim to fame is he has a really bad cauliflower ear.
Mm-hmm.
So they even work that into it, where it's like they're all sitting around making jokes, and then Couture gets really sensitive about his ear and starts explaining what a cauliflower ear is, and they're all laughing and like, oh, this is so funny. And I just didn't get any camaraderie from it at all.
Mm. Well, I'm going to go see it tomorrow, definitely. I'm going to see a double feature of that and Scott Pilgrim.
Good. I'm excited to hear what you think about The Expendables because it didn't work at all for me. And you know what? Stallone was trying to do his best Paul Greengrass at times with the action.
Oh.
And it didn't follow the action very well in the last 30 minutes is the big, you know.
Are you talking about shaky cam, Bill?
I am talking about shaky cam, but I refuse to call it shaky cam.
Paul Greengrass cam?
Yes. Paul Greengrass
awesome.
Cam.
I don't know, man. I'm a student of 80s type films, but you're saying it's not like canon action films or whatever.
No, and that's what I really wanted.
It's not like Cobra or anything. Like,
exactly. If it was over the top, kind of stupid, you know, the axe
or
gang
like over the top.
Cobra. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It needs a catchphrase. Everybody needs their catchphrase.
Commando,
or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And this didn't have any of that. It had Angel Batista from Dexter
awesome.
as a dictator who wasn't really a dictator. It had Eric Roberts, who was a bad guy that just wanted money.
It's got Dolph Lundgren in it. Is he in it a lot or just a little
bit? Dolph Lundgren's role is so, like, wedged into the entire storyline that it was so out of place to me. I don't want to talk about it too much because I want you to experience what I went through.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm definitely going to see that tomorrow.
I was just really disappointed. I expected something fun and got something kind of boring, honestly.
You go in pieces, asshole.
Oh! Good old Dolph. He doesn't have a scene like that in the movie, does he?
No, he doesn't. He's too junkied up.
All right, now tell me what you thought of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, Scott Pilgrim was like the polar opposite of everything that didn't like about the Expendables. It was just so – I went in and I didn't know what to expect. I had heard a lot and everybody's kind of jumping on the hype bandwagon and there was this huge reaction from Comic-Con. And I don't like Michael Cera at all. And by the end of this movie, I forgot it was Michael Cera.
Oh, that's
good. he was Scott Pilgrim to me.
Yeah, a good director pulls something out of your actors, you know, especially
exactly.
Your lead.
Yeah, there was like one or two moments where I was like, oh, that Michael Cera. But the rest of it, I was more than happy to believe that he was Scott Pilgrim. I was cheering him on at the end. And it's just... It's one of these movies that kind of speaks to a generation. I would have to say if you were born anywhere between 1970 and 1990, played your fair share of video games, you would love this movie. It just – everything that Edgar Wright put on film worked for me. I haven't seen a movie with a proper opening credit sequence in the longest time, and he – the opening credits were just fantastic. This kind of like grungy, arty, you know, and it was a full credit sequence. I was actually happy to watch, you know, who was involved in the movie. It was just kind of it kind of prepared you for what you were going to get. And it's a fantastic film that they talk about the video game influences and all that, and there's plenty of them. I mean, the books were filled with them, but that's kind of secondary to how much heart this story has. You know, by the end of it, you kind of fall in love with these characters, and you're honestly kind of sad that it's over, but it ends on such a great note that you're kind of lifted up by the end
and
of
one
it.
One thing I love about Edgar Wright is his camera work and editing on his films. The kinetic visuals, you know, the Raimi-esque type of visuals with but he's got a lot of flair and stuff. So I'm
there
gonna
is
get a lot
so
of that.
Much in this movie that I his it's shining through his vision of this entire world. The plain, I don't want to call Toronto plain, but it's Toronto. I can't really say there's any one thing that's specifically notable about it for me.
Oh.
But I'm
it's
sorry
got the
anybody
needle.
That
Come
loves
on.
Toronto.
You mean it doesn't look like a distinct city when you see
exactly.
different parts of it. That's why so many movies film there, because it looks like anywhere
it
USA
anywhere,
kind of thing, like big city USA or something like that.
But even he creates kind of a character out of the city itself.
I'm just saying, Bill, we have a lot of Canadian listeners, so...
I know. I don't want to offend any Canadians.
But not Montreal
guy doesn't
care. And
there's a lot of really
care.
Great Canadian jokes in the movie, since it's, you know, it's
cool.
Not shy about saying it takes place in Toronto, Canada.
That's awesome. I didn't realize it did. That's cool. I can't wait to see it, man.
I really loved it. I hate to, you know, jump on that bandwagon of that hype train, but
who cares about that?
It was so good.
You know,
I was so uplifted by
Inception,
the end of it.
Inception, Bill, when we were talking about, like, Inception, like, we didn't get to talk about it on the show, but
no.
You were telling me don't get caught up in the hype stuff. Just go see – it was like, I don't give a shit what anyone says about a movie.
Yeah.
I just go to see it, you know. I don't care if people are saying it's the worst movie ever made. I went and saw Avatar, didn't I?
True.
You know, it's just like, I'm going to go see Inception and make up my own mind. But like Scott Pilgrim, it looks like a lot of fun. And it is a ton of fun. The main thing is you get so used to him being in film, making films with, you know, Nick Frost and Jesus Christ,
Simon Pegg.
Yeah, that when I first heard he was making this, I was like, what? He's making a movie without Simon Pegg and Nick Frost? What the hell's going on? But they got to take breaks from each other eventually, right?
Yeah, I know. I get a little sad not seeing those three together. Like, they are the Expendables. They're the team. But he does a really fantastic job, and
that's so
you
cool.
can see him growing as a director, and that's what's so great about it.
Totally. Okay, I can't wait to see it, man. So we'll talk about it after that.
And the music is fantastic. I mean, I don't want to give it – I'm not giving anything away by saying the opening, you know, the Universal logo before the movie. I wasn't aware how the movie would start, and it's an 8-bit Universal logo.
Oh, sweet.
Like, if you were to turn on your Nintendo and get a Universal logo, that's what it is.
Nice.
And the music, everything, the music is perfect. There's combinations of kind of like an 8-bit music mixed with a full score kind of stuff. It works so well. And the bands are great. The music for Sex Bob-omb is, I think it was written by Beck. And it just comes across like really, not edgy, but kind of grungy garage band kind of sound, not real polished. And it works. And there's so many little hints to different games. There's music that's used, shirts. Like one of his shirts, he's the bassist, and he has a shirt with the bass logo from the Rock Band games. And all that. It was just all these little touches that if you're a gamer, you pick up on and kind of giggle at. And just so many wonderful little touches that really makes the film on a whole something special.
Nice, guys. You heard Bill. Go see it, right?
Yeah, honestly, save your money from the – I'm not. I don't want to say don't go see The Expendables because there's a lot of people that enjoy it. But –
Well, I know
Scott Pilgrim is the movie of the weekend, and I'm worried about it because I want it to open big, but there was maybe only 10 people in the theater.
What about this, Bill? Expendables or Scott Pilgrim, not number one, the new Julia Roberts movie. Oh, won't that just kill you? Eat, pray, love.
That's how it's going to be because I was there, there was more people going into Eat, Pray, Love than there was Expendables or Scott Pilgrim.
Awesome.
There was a ton of, like, I would have to say 50-year-old and up going into The Expendables.
Yeah. See, that's a movie I should go see with my dad or something, you know?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it was so funny because after the movie, Terry Crews has this huge shotgun. Basically, it's a shotgun we love from the Battlefield games.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the auto shotgun.
A-12.
Oh, God, yeah. I think
you
awesome.
Can fire off like clip. A shitload of rounds. Nice. And there's a moment in the end that he just mows through a ton of guys, just flagging
awesome.
Them left
see,
and
you
right.
See, you sold me right there. I don't care about anything else. I want to
yeah,
see that.
But there's like the last 30 minutes are good. The last 30 minutes are good. Everything else awesome. Is boring. But there was a group of these guys all over 50 outside of the cinema talking, going, man, can we get that gun?
Hell
like
yeah!
They all
you can
wanted
get
to
it.
Get that gun and take it to the gun range.
Nice. Yeah, you can totally get that gun.
Yeah, I have to recommend Scott Pilgrim over Expendables.
Well, cool. Or just go see them both, right?
Yeah, like I did. It's fun.
Make a day of it.
All right, Bill. What do you say we check out? What's on our TiVo? You ready to talk about TV, Bill?
Yes.
Let's do it! Let's start off with Big Brother talk, shall we?
We shall.
You know, this week was let's get Rachel and Brendan out, or most likely Rachel is who they all wanted out. But on this most recent episode, I'm not going to say last night the eviction, but the episode before that, Bill, when Brendan was thinking there was still hope, maybe I can make them hate me so much they'll keep Rachel and get me out, which is a great idea. It didn't work with Andrew, by the way. Remember when they tried to do that? But I love when it was time for the veto meeting, and Brittany, she won the veto in their little bowling thing. They were, you'd have to knock over pins, and it was so funny when Brendan got pissed off there. He threw one of the balls. He was so pissed.
So embarrassed for him.
Yeah, that was...
I mean, I know frustration, but come on, dude. Don't do that.
You know, it was funny how when they recap it, you know, people are prone to exaggerate. It's just like, he almost hit Jeff or Jordan with that ball. And then you replay, it's, of course, it's nowhere near them, right? But still, it's
10 feet away.
When people throw shit in your general direction, it's kind of scary, especially if it's a wooden ball or whatever. But he was just like, damn it, you know, because he screwed it up so bad. And I love, like, the diary thing of Rachel. She goes, why did he only get three? You know, he didn't do very good. It's so funny how she gives him such a hard time. But just
like, did I get involved with a retard?
But let's check out this part at the end where he decides to turn Brittany and everyone against him.
I don't think Brittany's going to be using the power veto on Rachel or me. So I think that I'm going to have to do something very drastic at the veto meeting to shift the attention from Rachel to myself. I want her in this game.
Good idea.
I told her I would take a bullet for her, and I think that she will love me for it.
You're wielding arms.
I would like to give both of you a chance to tell me why you think I should use the power veto to save you. Brendan, you can go first.
I insist on Rachel going first as a gentleman.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Rachel, you can go first.
Okay. Brittany, you're my friend, and as a friend, I am at the lowest point of my game. I've fought hard to be here. I want to be here. I want Brendan to be here, too. If you use the power veto on me or Brendan, I will give you $5,000.
Nice.
I have that to offer. And you know that
cicadas love money.
I don't care if you use it on me or Brendan. But please, please, Brittany, use the power veto. This is our only chance.
Sad.
Brendan, now it's your turn to speak.
Well, I think over the last 5 weeks, having gotten the pleasure to know you, I guess I've come to realize that you are a spoiled brat.
Oh my God, somebody shoot somebody?
And you are selfish. Last week, I know you wanted to work with us, and you're the best friends that we could have, talking about putting up Matt and Reagan. Yet this week, you've been up in their room, and you've now teamed up with their alliance. And I think you are going to play this game like you were going to life, and you're going to do what's best for Brittany.
What does that even mean?
And so I'm not going to really expect you to use the power of veto.
I love how they totally fall for this.
If you'd like to, I'd like you to use it on me.
This is great. Brendan, just as I'm a spoiled brat, you're a class act. And you are carrying yourself in this game worse than anybody else. You are showing your true colors every day. Okay? So before you go trying to call people and say who's trying to put up who, why don't you be honest for a change and do what other people have said and say what you say behind people's backs. That being said, I have decided not to use the power of veto.
I love that later on, I guess it was the last night's episode when they showed it, when they showed the saboteur. You know, Reagan's the new saboteur, and he doesn't really do anything. He just picks on a laptop what America chooses, and one of them was that... make the house think that they weren't going to leave or something. Do you remember that? Because the whole
I'm sabtastic.
Rachel is like miserable. She's sad all the time and wants people to feel sorry for her. But as soon as it's like house guests, the two lovebirds may not be separating. They may be together, and they're like, "Oh my God, they're not going to get kicked out." Oh bummer. And Rachel's like, "Hey, well, isn't that interesting?" Like she her. Her cocky self comes out for like a moment, And it's just like, you're reminding them why they hate your guts.
Yeah.
Because when she's like, you know, bitches or whatever, like all of a sudden, like her real personality comes out because she thinks, oh, maybe something's going to happen where we get to stay. And oh, man, whenever she talks about my man, you don't come between me and my man or whatever. It's like, oh, Jesus. But I love it. They're like, there's not for a minute we're going to consider keeping her. Are you nuts? Brendan, you can kill one of us. We are not keeping her in this house.
She's got an evil dick and they would still get rid of her.
Yeah, they're so sick of her. It's hilarious. Because I thought it was funny she got so mad at, what is it, Kathy? When they were playing the bowling thing, she was like, woo! And she goes, that was just mean for her to celebrate like that when I'm the one on the block and I'm the one going home and she's sitting here celebrating. So that's just wrong. And then later she goes, you owe me an apology. And she's like, for what? And she's like, you know what for.
You know, I actually liked Brendan and Rachel until they became these whiny, like, just hypocritical characters.
I know. It's like they, you know, when you see on the TV show, that's one thing that's funny. But when you watch the feeds or whatever and you watch the show, how different they portray it. Because really, yeah, on the CBS TV show, they wanted us to like them so much. And like, there's those cheesy moments where he's like, I'm your knight. And that's what he does for his lady. And I'm like, oh, vomit. You know? It's like, good Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
But then you see on the feed just how annoying they are and stuff. It's pretty funny. But I guess they eventually show it now because, like, oh, they're getting kicked out of the house. Might as well
show
it.
Yeah, there's nothing else that they can show other than how annoying they are now.
But I just love that. He's like, I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. I'm your knight. And I'm going to be here to protect you. It's like, shut up.
When will you be my knight, Brendan?
Knight.
I'll be your knight, baby. Give me some sugar. Hail to the chief.
That's.
You are a spoiled brat.
Hey.
That was just pillow talk, baby.
I do love that. What they, you know, one thing that nobody else I can remember doing much is the veto meetings. Having the nerve to, you know, say,
I will give you $5,000.
You know, like, I'll give you money to use a veto on me. I love that. Just saying it in front of everybody.
And I didn't see it. What's this diamond power?
The diamond veto. Basically, when Matt won the HOH, there was a Pandora's box. If you open it, good things will happen, but also bad things. So he's like, man, what the hell? I'll open it. And he wins the diamond veto. And the diamond veto is, he can veto at any time, say like this week, Brendan puts up two people, you know, and they're about to be evicted. He goes, oh, I'm going to use a diamond veto. I'm going to replace his two nominees with these two people.
Okay.
So he can do that. So basically what if he say like Brendan puts up Hayden and Enzo, Matt could say, oh, this isn't going to happen. And they have no chance with a veto or anything. Right. So one of them is going to get evicted on eviction night. I think it can happen on eviction night. I'm not sure if it's the veto meeting or what, but he can go, I'm going to replace them with Kathy and Reagan. You know, he could do something like that. Remember last year when Jeff did that and Nishima couldn't take it and she left the show? She got kicked out.
Oh, yeah, she went ape shit.
So that same thing might happen. Who knows? So he's like,
she threw a mic in a hot tub and...
Yeah. Oh, she just dropped it. Remember that? Good times.
What happens to these people that they forget there's cameras everywhere? You're just going to lie flat out. Oh, she dropped it.
My favorite thing is the guys. Okay, it's Enzo, Lane, Hayden, and Matt. Matt is the only one.
Patrol.
Matt has won HOH twice. The rest of them have never won anything, right? And they're sitting around like, man, we're running this house, man. We got this in the bag or whatever. And what's sad is they do. Nobody is even looking at them, and they're just morons, but that's how stupid. Like, Rachel was like the luckiest thing to happen to everybody else because they're like, everyone hates her so much, get rid of her. Okay, now Brendan, he's the next they need to get out. And so you make people hate everyone. I'm sure they could.
She created her own villain.
And you know that everyone doesn't like Kathy. Kathy's a floater. Get her out. And then it's going to be like, Reagan, man, he's a floater. Let's get him. And, you know, it's just like.
They're just going to dump the one.
You're a floater without a raft. Was that what she said?
Well, she was like, floaters get a life vest. whatever. I hate when they talk about floaters. It makes me think of a turd in a toilet.
Yeah, it really does. Like a turd you had too much fat. It just kind of skims the surface.
It's like don't call me a floater. That's wings. Rude. How dare you call me a floater? Come on. I'm just
a buffalo wing poo.
I'm a guy who stays quiet and waiting
Let's
for
flush
nobody.
The floater.
All right, Bill, I know for a fact that on vacation you missed the cake boss, didn't you, huh?
I did. Sitting there on the beach, like, boss.
God, I wish I had me some cake boss to watch.
But then when I'm on vacation, I hear in the forum that cake boss won't be the cake boss for very much longer.
Yeah, let's see if this really happens. Because
I'm so angry and distressed.
Yeah, the cake boss, he can't. I'm sure they'll just pay something and keep him. But this week, on the Cake Boss, it's really hot there in Hoboken. You know, it's pretty hot here.
It's tropical Hoboken.
And they're thinking, like, how can we cool off? Oh, remember back in the day when your dad
we had the refrigerated truck?
Yeah, they used to make the lemon ice, Steven. Do you know what lemon ice is? Because if you don't, we're going to find out. It's awesome.
Let's find it.
No matter what.
Oh, you know, awesome. It's hot in here, man.
It's hot.
It is.
It is hot.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot summer, hot. Sal.
Yeah, very hot. Remember your father used to make lemon ice?
Oh, remember the lemon ice? I remember this time of year in the spring, my dad used to go and line up all the different flavors. He used to make lemon, cherry, chocolate, and yum-yum.
So why do you call them all lemon ice?
Wait, yum-yum?
So you've got four flavors of lemon.
No.
Italian ice, but we just say lemon ice. That like covers
Listen,
everything.
My father called it lemon ice, whether it was chocolate,
I'm
going to
say everything on this one.
We don't call them Italian ice. We call it lemon ice. You got to always be difficult on
everything.
That's
every the way it is.
Thing. Lemon
like, yeah, I get
ice.
It. Yeah.
They're different okay, flavors. Why do you just call them all lemon ice?
Calls on the lemon ice. The whole thing is lemon ice.
Daddy! What?
Hey, uh-oh. Man, let's go, man.
I'm coming!
We're going to call his bakeries a blessing, you know? But on the other hand,
yes. Blessing for us
we
too.
Do have a lot of pressure.
You gotta get all of it. I told
That's
you to get five.
Have. That's all I have. Only one.
So you got we need five.
There's only one.
Oh.
What's going on?
The
stage
going
organ?
On here. You two are screaming like animals. I'm coming upstairs. I gotta hear you two yell. What the hell's wrong with you?
But I need five sponges. You only
I only have one left. What do you want me to do?
With Morrow's new health issues, the doctor told him he can't get aggravated. He's got high blood pressure, so he's got to really try to calm down.
Are you guys arguing like two friggin' five-year-olds? Come on, guys. You got to learn. We got to take it easy. We got to calm. Breathe easy, man. Let it out. You feel
better. I'll calm down, but I told you to get five. I mean, you only got one.
Hold on.
He needs the laughing yogurt.
Let's do the yogurt stuff.
I'm not going to yell and scream no more. Breathe.
Go downstairs.
I am. Oof.
Yeah. Breathe.
Breathe. In through the nose. Out through the mouth.
It's Mediterranean
yeah,
or something.
Relax.
Give each other a hug. Let me hug.
But that says to get this punch down.
I got Joey making the old
Man, that's a
lemon ice
baseline.
And we figure if it turns out good, we're going to start selling
People
it in the store.
So awesome jams.
All right, I made the lemon. The original lemon, your father's recipe.
Oh, let me try
this. This is lemon ice. Tastes like chocolate. Huh?
I love the chocolate lemon ice, please.
Hold the lemon.
Forgot how good that was. So refreshing, right, dude?
I wonder why we stopped making it, right?
Yeah, because everybody used to eat more than we used to make.
You're no good. Lemon ice was always a big hit at Carlo's Bakery. And it still tastes just as good as I remember. We got to start
like
making
your dad used to make, right?
This is so good. I want you to make
down
this.
On him,
all the original flavors.
Some wacky stuff.
Make some wacky stuff.
So I send Joey and tell him, go downstairs and make some of the different flavors. We're all going to taste them and decide
taste the yum
what
yum.
We're going to sell in the store.
You leave these here.
What was yum-yum?
All right. Come on.
I want the yum-yum lemon ice.
So Joey tried out some of the new flavors we got. Pina colada, grape, and mango.
What do you say? Grape?
Delicious. I mean, mouth-watering.
I love me some lemon ice grape.
What's that? I think he said pina colada, too. Pina colada.
Pina.
What's the matter? Brain freeze? Maybe it'll make your head shrink a little bit if you have brain freeze.
I love him.
Drink water, and you'll feel better.
At the end of the day, all the flavors were delicious, and we're going to start making it again. Done deal.
All right, lemon eyes.
Yum, yum.
Done deal.
Awesome. Now, Hell's Kitchen, hey, they pronounced a winner this week, huh? You guys excited about that?
Yes.
Now, were you guys on Team Holly or Team Jay? What do you think?
I think I'm Team Holly.
I was too. I thought Jay was kind of a D-bag.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. That hair and everything. You know, the funniest thing about all this, like...
I was trying to figure out his age.
Yeah, I wondered that too. But cause early like on...
would you say he was 10 years older than Holly or less?
Yeah, Holly looks really young. I'm going to say she's like 24 or something like that. Didn't they even have their ages? Or no, they didn't. That's
I can't remember.
But Gordon Ramsay, he's like, congratulations, you two. Go upstairs and work on your menus. And there's this little part here where Holly kind of says like... hey, Jay, you know, she's first of all in the diary session, she's like, or whatever they call it on this show, the pantry session. I'll do anything to win this. And then she's like, hey, Jay, we're alone. And they cue the porn music and then it cuts to the next day. So it's like, okay, did she work a deal with Jay? I'll give you sex to win. That's what they insinuate, I thought, by that. Didn't it seem like that?
Exactly.
Because she just says that. She says, we're all alone. They have sounds where, like, listen, Jay even goes, oh, like he's getting a blowjob or something. I don't know.
What?
And then they have the burn. And then it goes to the next thing.
This?
And then, you know, then we'll go right into who's going to win. You know, they did the same thing they always do where they get their own new chef shirts and then they pick their teams and then they do that. So we've seen it all before. All we care about is who won. So let's check this out. But you got to check out this first part.
Well done.
Thank you, Chef.
Woo! I've wanted this so badly.
Congratulations, Chef.
Thank you, too.
I think I underestimated Holly. I thought Ben was my biggest competition, but I can beat her.
Ben was a douche.
Chef, at the Savoy Grill, like, it's right there. Cheers. And I will do whatever it takes to win.
Congratulations. Come here.
Hey, Jay, we're all alone.
What?
Holly and Jay, are you ready?
Yes, Chef.
Yes, Chef.
This is a build-up to
the door open.
Are you ready to get ready?
The winner of Hell's Kitchen on the count of three. One. Two. Three.
Holly!
Woo!
Well done. I love when he goes, well done to Jay. He's like, then why didn't I win?
Jay is a great person, and if it wasn't me against him, I would hope he would win, because I think he deserves to win. Jay rocks.
At first, I thought her little boy was all ADR. Like,
yeah,
I'm so proud, Mommy. It's like, do they do that later? But then I saw his lips moving.
You're the best chef ever, Mommy.
Very close, and Holly did a great job and deserved to win.
I miss my son so much. Gives me hugs. He's like, Mommy, you're the best chef ever.
It's like, that's not even her son's voice
when
as an actor.
He's going to be proud.
They're holding some kid ransom.
He's my little man.
Mama!
Please give it up for the winner.
That little kid was cute.
Holly! Holly won because she has grown as a chef more than any other chef in Hell's Kitchen. At the start, she was barely noticeable, but then she got her confidence. She emerged, and there was no holding her back. I'm absolutely thrilled she'll be working with me at the Savoy Grill in London.
I would say, like, last year when Dave the Robot, or was that this year? When Dave the Robot, when he was never on the block at all, just like her, I believe.
Right.
They both did really
Dave
well.
Dave the Robot was there.
Yeah, I did see Dave the Robot. And you know what I noticed? He had a thing on his...
I told you! It was like he was competing!
He had a brace.
Why was he dressed up in kitchen garb?
What? Yeah, and he had a brace
his
on his wrist
still.
Messed
up.
And I was like, did they film these simultaneously with the other season or
I
what?
I was so confused. He did have a brace.
I was like, why isn't that shit healed yet?
Maybe he really, really honestly
Do they shoot
it up his wrist?
They shoot it like they do, like the game shows. You know, that The Price is Right 4 or 5 in a row. They're just they five do seasons. Like,
come on down, Dave.
I thought that was weird. I did love, you know, when they show them all celebrating at the end. Just Gordon Ramsay just like spraying like all the champagne all over Jean-Philippe. I thought that was funny.
Now, I wonder what happened to Dave. Now I'm concerned about him.
You're concerned about him.
I am.
You know what was cool is Gordon Ramsay was on
multiple surgeries on his wrist, and
Gordon Ramsay was on George Lopez last night, and Holly was on there too. He had her on there, and they did a little cooking competition. It was just silly stuff, but Gordon Ramsay's interview was pretty funny, talking about food and just Gordon being himself. And I thought we'd check that out before we talked about MasterChef. Let's just check this out. I thought it was pretty funny.
And what do you eat that's bad? Like, if you had one thing and no one was watching you and you could put a hat on, what would you eat that would be?
I just got back from Cambodia, and there was a this amazing restaurant that had this huge king cobra. And the cobra dances and performs at the table. And then, obviously, being a Westerner, you're all there, and you get the first bite, and they take it away, and they say, we're going to do this cobra 7 ways. First course is this cobra heart, taken straight from the cobra, slit into a shot glass, a little bit of vodka, and it's like beating.
Oh.
Yeah. And you've got, like, seconds to drink this thing. So I knocked it back, and then 15 seconds later, honestly, I could still feel it halfway down my throat, like beating, honestly. And then about an hour later, I could still feel it pulsating inside my stomach. Honestly, I think it came out my asshole beating as well. It was live and not good. Not good.
Hey, that's not a good mental picture.
Do you know what? It tastes like a sort of raw liver, stroke, slimy oyster, but warm.
Warm hearts. Yeah, warm-hearted.
Warm-hearted, yeah.
Skip that.
What do you think of, like we had a segment just on state fair food, like a cheeseburger with Krispy Kreme donuts as the bun, and a deep-fried Twinkie, and all of that stuff that they deep-fried butter, and deep-fried pizza. That's not good, is it?
Disgusting. Honestly. I mean, we have a cheese sandwich. You got to fry it. I mean, fried cheese sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheese sandwich is bad enough. Sticking a deep fat fryer with oil that hasn't been changed for 3 months looks like something like a BP advert on your Mexican beaches. It shouldn't really be deep fat fries.
No. They always say that the customer is always right. When you have your restaurants, has anybody really pissed you off? I mean, that you've gone out there and like gone mad, as they say?
I mean, sometimes, you know, customers can be really finicky. Here especially, I was at a steakhouse the other night, and there was a customer asking for a Caesar salad with no dressing. So I was like, are you a rabbit? Why ask for a salad with no dressing when it's just like plain dry lettuce that tastes like For God's sake, get something on there, oil or vinegar or fresh lemon juice. But what kind of freak must you be to go out and sit there?
You know what? It is an experience. Salad dressing is not going to kill you.
Just, No. But if you're going to be that anal about going out to eat, stay at home. Don't piss off the kitchen.
What about? Exactly. You're right. Crazy. What about when people don't even taste their food and put salt or pepper? They haven't even tasted it.
That's a pain in the ass. We as chefs work so hard to make sure we season that food perfectly. A lot of customers think we over-season things, but we small-season things, so it's a graduation of perfection. But then when the food hits the table, how many customers do you see just pick up the salt and pepper,
absolutely,
and they start seasoning it, and you think, oh, for God's sake, you dumb bitch, taste it first!
Wow!
It's always blonde and gold, right?
Sorry. Exactly.
Crazy.
I thought that was a fun interview. He was just, you know, being himself and
being, you know, funny and entertaining.
Now, before we...
I'm surprised he could say asshole, but not shit.
Yeah, I know. I think he could. Maybe they just bleeped it for the... I got that off the internet. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
On their official George Lopez page. Now, before we take a break, let's talk about MasterChef, Bill. You have not got to talk about this show yet. What do you think of it?
I'm honestly impressed by it. I don't know what I expected, but I enjoy seeing people that aren't real cooks or claim to be real cooks.
Yeah, I think it's a
competing.
Lot of fun.
I, so many of the people that go on Hell's Kitchen are shitty cooks, but they claim they are cooks. And it just doesn't quite work. So whenever you have that separation of people that have things that they like to do, they like to cook, but they're not professional, I really enjoy it.
And, it, you know, I had a lot of fun in the tryout episodes, the first two, when, you know, they would try out to get on the show. I thought that was a lot of fun. But this week, they've now got their contestants. And first, they're going to weed them out a little and see who can chop an onion. And if you can't chop an onion, you don't deserve to be there.
And then you shred it.
Yeah, you dice it up. And, you know, we go through, and if it was like clumps and stuff, it just looks shitty. They go
skin on it or whatever.
Yeah, you don't have any skill. Sorry, you have to go. And this show is really brutal in how it gets rid of people, isn't it?
They had to do what was it, like a pound of onion?
You just had to keep doing it till they told you to stop. You just had to keep going.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was surprised.
I think the last two people were going for more than 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
I was surprised they didn't show all the tears rolling out of their eyes, but they didn't go into any of that, you know?
Well, I think that also has a lot to do with onion, the onion that is being used.
Right.
And the storage conditions of it. Because there's sometimes just the way the onion is stored or the type of onion it is, it doesn't have that tear producing
right
quality.
And, you know, it was a lot of fun seeing everyone do the – one thing, it looks like they all cheer each other on. They all get bummed out. One of them gets kicked off, and they're all like, yeah, you made it, or come over here with me.
Because all of them know that they're
– hard it is to stay on here. And my favorite – like I didn't remember his name last week, but Joe Bastianich. I love the way, Bill, he takes a bite. And he stares you in the eye as he's taking a bite, and then he turns away.
And doesn't say a word.
Doesn't say a word, and he just kind of stands.
It's perfect.
And sometimes he'll, you know, if he says something, it's kind of like, interesting presentation or something. They're like, what the hell does that mean? You know,
really vague.
Yeah. I love that. But,
well, if he does say something positive, it's like, it's got to be damn good. You
know? One thing, I was actually shocked to see the guy, like Bill last week, you know, I kind of said the Ninja Turtle hands, the guy with the three fingers. He's
chicken hands.
Like Ewok hands or whatever.
Ewok hands. Did Ewoks have three fingers?
Yeah, two fingers.
Yep, yep.
Oh, wait, no, maybe they had three fingers and one thumb. I don't remember. But Ninja Turtles, definitely. But the guy, you know, they were like, wow, look at him chop those onions with only, you know, two fingers on each hand and a thumb. Wow, that's pretty impressive or whatever. But his food, they weren't remember, what is it? That you have to make the egg, and the egg has to be the hero of the dish. You get one egg. And he didn't do that. They cut him. I was like, wow, that guy's gone. I mean, I figured he would be like this season-long story. But the third episode, nope, he's gone. The lady, the nice lady who had the all special needs children, and she taught herself how to cook for them, out of there. She's gone. You know, she didn't make a good enough dish. And it's just like, wow, all these stories that they had in the first two episodes, this is pretty brutal. My favorite is this one crying, cocky guy. I remember in the first episode, he's like real cocky, but he's like...
Yeah.
That guy's got some emotional problems.
But here he makes, it looks like a poached egg. Let's see how this turns out. Let's check this out.
Well done.
Thank you, Chef.
That's Hell's Kitchen. Let's check this out.
Well, what we haven't seen is any kind of three-star execution, any technique that you might have in a great restaurant in Paris or London or New York.
Yep. And no one's poaching the egg in red wine to take it up a different level.
There's so many things to do there.
You can easily do a beautiful scotch egg, too.
Yeah.
Thinking outside the box, yet still staying true to the egg.
The judges are expecting a very high standard. Now it's up to the contestants to deliver.
Yeah, so I see potatoes, steak, mushrooms. The only thing I don't see is the actual competition ingredients.
The one thing I am absolutely clear on and the one thing I know I can do is poach an egg.
5 minutes left, everybody.
Here's the moment of truth right here, driving this egg in. And I think we're going to be okay here. We'll find out.
David, you serve me potatoes, steak, egg, porcini, adventurous. When you put a dish like that together, why'd you send me hard potatoes? Got all these hard elements done perfectly, and then you screw up on the potato.
So Gordon is inches from my face. I'm thinking, is he gonna grab my apron off and say, get the hell out of here?
Help me. Help me.
I tried to do too much. I tried to do too much.
I want you to take everything you've learned since you've been here in MasterChef and put it to good use. Especially in the next round. Congratulations.
They were just driving all the crazy teasing. You know, there was that one group where he's like, all three of you, you're gone. And they're like, oh. And then the next three come up. They make pretty decent meal. He's like, wow, that's impressive. And he's like, I want you all to untie your aprons.
Yep.
And tie them on tighter because you're going to the next. They're like, yeah.
That was so weak.
So weak.
I mean, that's what you're going to come up with to try to create suspense.
And I love the narrator lady. She goes, next up is Chital with this so-and-so. And that guy, he's like, all right, Sheetle, let's see what you got. He calls her Sheetle. Because she's got her name there on her shirt. And it looks like Sheetle, but her name is Chital. He's like, all right, Cheadle, let's see what you got. And you can see she's like, I'm not going to correct him. He's judging my food. You can call me whatever you want, dude. What's that guy's name? Because I've seen him on Top Chef a lot.
Oh, Graham Elliott.
Yeah, Graham Elliott. I didn't know he was like a four-star chef.
Oh, yeah.
He was the youngest four-star chef.
Wow. That's
Graham
cool.
Elliott Bowles, but for some reason he dropped the last name.
You know what's funny?
I think it has more to do with, identity. Family, something.
One thing they don't need to do is at the end of every episode, coming up this season on MasterChef, you don't have to keep showing me that, okay? I'm going to watch again. They keep showing the army drive up on the beach and all. Okay, I get it.
I'm
they're going to do
what
wedding.
Episode they're going to do that because they're blending two different episodes really confusingly. Like the, you have the wedding.
Yeah, they're going to do a wedding.
And then all of a sudden, tanks?
Yeah. So, is that the same?
Is it a military wedding?
I know. But the show...
They have to be able to feed
I gotta say that I'm really... When I'm watching the show, I'm realizing I'm really, like, getting into it. I don't hear any cicadas or anything. And
it's a different production company.
It's a lot classier, I think.
If it was the same production company as Hell's Kitchen, you would have that guy doing the voiceovers and way too much music. And every time that guy would start to squeak out a tear, there would be some sad music.
Yeah, and Joe Bastianich, I mean, you can tell, like, later on, there's going to be some of that, him getting more upset or something. But it's just harsh criticism, but they want the master chef.
I have no problem with the cockiness of Joe Bastianich, because the guy has made...
Well, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. Like, he's like, if he says...
Really accomplished.
If he says your meal doesn't taste good, you know, he's one of the judges.
And I believe he's the son of Lydia Bastianich, who is the really famous Italian chef.
Oh.
She even has a show on PBS, I believe.
Yeah, because remember, he is Italian. They were talking about that, you know, you bring a dish up here that's notably
yeah,
Italian.
Yeah, like the surf and turf.
The surf and turf.
Like, it's insulting.
Help me. Help me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, him and Bastianich and Mario Batali are business partners in a lot of stuff.
Cool. I can't wait to see more of the show. I think it's really entertaining.
I enjoy the cookery.
Now, what do you guys say? We take a break and we'll be back. We'll talk about Top Chef and all of our other shows. How's that sound?
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll be right back.
In through the nose, out through the mouth.
Hey, has you heard the news?
Yeah, I want to tell him. I want to tell
him. Gentlemen, the news is riveting,
Now, what the boys are trying to say is that Parker Brothers Popeye, Q-Bert, and Frog are three of the hottest games around, are now available for two of the hottest systems around, the Atari 5200 and ColecoVision, about as close to real arcade graphics in action as you can get.
One thing I hate sets a pushy announcer. Popeye,
Q-Bert, and Frogger, now for the Atari 5200 ColecoVision systems.
Now's your nose.
Kevin, can we talk to you for a second?
Look, you're 12 years old now. Sooner or later, you're going to run into a situation that...
Someone's going to offer you drugs.
At school or somewhere. Someone's going to ask you to smoke a joint with them.
Sometimes your friends can put a lot of pressure on you.
That's right.
So we just want to say that we care about you and your health. We hope that before you do anything like that, we want you to know...
That you can just come to us and talk about it.
Because we love you.
That's right. We love you. Well, what do you think?
Pretty good. We'll try it for real with Kevin tomorrow.
Talking to your kids about drugs isn't easy. You might even want to try it first with a friend, but you can do it. Get involved with drugs before your children do.
If you think ColecoVision plays all Atari cartridges...
You mean it can't?
Here's Pac-Man on ColecoVision. But here's Pac-Man on the Atari 5200 Super System.
Now you're talking.
And it doesn't work on ColecoVision.
But won't Jungle Hunt?
Not with real arcade graphics.
Ms. Pac-Man?
This Ms. plays only on the Atari 5200 Super System. And now there's an adapter.
For 2,600 games?
Nearly 2,600 games.
Super!
System, now with a $30 rebate and Pac-Man from Atari.
Friday, it's Cinderella Smith when he prepares to play a princess. And if the shoe fits, it'll be a miracle.
I love breaking down stereotypes.
Then Joey finds a Jennifer centerfold. But will his dad cash in on her assets?
Now I'll be hanging in every muffler shop in America.
Jennifer's left here Friday.
TV. On the next Love Boat, one of Doc's ex-wives travels with a supposed fiancé to lure Doc back into marriage. But her problems mount when the actor becomes serious about his shipboard role. Then at 5, things get crowded when Ralph loses his job and moves in with Jack, Janet, and Cindy on Three's Company.
And 1, and a 2, and a 3.
You scoop, rock them, and roll.
Full house.
You scoop, rock them, and roll.
Yahtzee, the dice-rolling strategy game you play like cards. Roll yourself a hand, then roll to make it better. Try to score high in every frame. Go for the bonus points and wild-scoring jokers.
Yahtzee!
Yahtzee, Triple Yahtzee, and Word Yahtzee from Milton Bradley.
Hey, play a video game?
Sure.
Now, command the powers of Adam.
That's a game?
Adam, the complete 80K computer system and super game system.
That's some game.
Adam has super graphics. All the arcade screens, all the bonuses, all the intermissions.
Even a Hall of Fame.
Adam includes the Buck Rogers Super Game and plays all ColecoVision accessories.
Let's run my satellite tracking program.
Game.
Command the powers of Adam and program your future.
From the creators of the A-Team, it's Riptide. Next, meet two private eyes who come fully briefed to face any situation.
I don't like this profession.
These guys not only have a knack for surveillance.
We got a secret weapon.
It's a high-tech big chopper used to stomp out crime. Next, it's Riptide. Wednesday, all rise.
Let's party!
It's the premiere of Night Court.
At most, I was expecting charades.
Where justice is always a toss-up.
One more flip. Heads we thunder up the river, tails we take.
And Law and Order stands for craziness in the courtroom.
Lala.
Night Court, Wednesday.
Have a seat.
This is sporty and powerful. This gives me comfort and pleasure. But I'd like both in one car.
The incredible new Toyota Celica Supra, the powerful pleasure.
Supra, you got it.
Interior touches that are unexpected.
Supra, you got it.
6 fuel-injected cylinders. Supra, count on it because it's built by Toyota.
Incredible.
When you got it, you got it. Toyota.
Hey, Bill, does your mouthwash fight bad breath in the morning as long as Listerine?
Just as long.
Almost as long. Long enough?
Listerine Strong works hours longer than your number 2 mouthwash.
And Listerine Antiseptic kills the germs that can cause bad breath.
Today's a good morning.
Listerine. Is there any nicer way to say good morning?
It's not.
Herself? I need 4 cut-up chickens, Pete, and shake and bake.
A party?
Oh, just a family dinner for 9 chicken experts. Gotta be crispy, gotta be golden, gotta be juicy.
Shake and bake coating mix makes
that. Makes our kind of chicken. You just shake, then bake. And that chicken's so crisp and juicy and golden, it makes me look golden, if you know what I mean.
Like I say, shake and bake coating.
Gotta get shaken, Pete. Thanks a bunch.
100% all-natural Wesson, the frying oil that's going to get people talking. Just read the label. Wesson's 100% natural. That sure sounds good to me.
Ever read Crisco's label?
They use additives, but not all-natural Wesson.
With Wesson, I don't get additives. I don't get anything but great-tasting fried food. For me
and for them. All-natural Wesson is 100% natural. The other leading vegetable oil isn't. It's time to change your oil to 100% all-natural Wesson.
I love you guys.
Every once in a while, a movie comes along that hits home about love, friends, dreams, and life. A movie that you'll be talking about long afterwards. Mystic Pizza. Experience something special, something romantic, something honest. Mystic Pizza, rated R.
Starts Friday, October 21st at a theater near you.
That's what the Expendables movie will do.
That's what I'm saying. They need a catchphrase.
I will give you $5,000.
Okay.
This is great.
Yeah, just give it to me. Awesome.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Now, Bill, one thing that I found myself missing on this week's Top Chef was the way that they judge on MasterChef. Because that guy, Alex, they would have let him go immediately, right?
Yeah. It's obvious. I have a problem with restaurant wars in general. I know a lot of people love it, but there's just the wrong person always goes home.
Right. They either get rid of the guy who was handing out menus because he didn't get a job or whatever. And I'm surprised with the one girl, she goes, well, I decided to do like a cold soup and a dessert. I was like, she's going home, you know, because usually it's whoever does the dessert is effed for the episode. But instead it was it went another way. But Angelo, the way they portray him on the show is he's a douchebag, right? He's like really talented. He's won whatever their competitions. But he comes off.
I think he might actually just be a douchebag.
Yeah, he's douchey. Very douchey. I really like the girl from Texas, Tiffany, and the guy, Ed. I'm Ed. He talks like this, and his pea puree was stolen.
Oh, yes, Ed.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to think.
Have you seen my pea puree? It's been stolen. Now, we all know Alex.
Have you seen my baseball?
Yeah. Somebody took his pea puree, and we'll never know who did it. Alex. But one thing I noticed about Top Chef is, you know, they just have their I don't know if they did an investigation or they even cared who stole the pea puree.
You know what? How much you want to bet that come the what's that? What do they call that? The last episode where they all
the little wrap up.
Yeah, they'll show what happened to it.
Yeah, they should
like if
show
it was actually stolen or if because they have so many cameras around. How can you miss that?
I got left in a Tupperware, you know, or something like that. They would have caught it and they should have showed us. But maybe they don't know. But the main thing here is Alex is on a team with Angelo and Ed and Tiffany and another girl I can't remember. And they know that in their restaurant, they don't want him to cook anything because he's going to screw it up. Because they did the blind thing where you hide your eyes and the person on your team starts a dish. You go there and continue it.
Right.
You work in a train and you just have to make something really good. Well, Alex, first thing he did is grab the fish and put salt on it. And she's like, why are you salting the fish like this
early?
It's the last thing you do. So what did Angelo do? He grabbed it and he like started seasoning it. And then he's like, this already was – why the hell did somebody salt this? So then when, you know, they eat it, they're like, this is too salty. And they're just like – you know, they do that. And then they show Alex sitting there. So they didn't want him to do anything with the restaurant, right? So they ended up having better food. The other team, is it Kenny?
And yes.
The other guys.
Kenny, Kevin.
They all
seem
like
Amanda.
Yeah, Amanda. Their problem is they all worked really nice together. The problem was their food wasn't as good, right? So, and there's even this part here where they're talking to the judges, Gail, and he's like, well, you know, they're back there. They were yelling at each other and stuff. She's like, I don't care. It just matters what the food tastes like. And they kind of lost track of that. So then when they know that they're screwed, one of them is going home, they pull out the, well, we know for a fact that Alex didn't make his food. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, that was really desperate.
Let's go ahead and check this out, because it was uncomfortable when they did this. I kind of, like, hid my eyes, looked away, because it was just uncomfortable. Like,
you are the losing restaurant in Restaurant Wars, and one of you will be going home tonight.
But the reality is we all cooked our dishes. The other team, you know, there was a representative on the team that did not cook their dish. If Angelo wasn't the beast in the kitchen and Ed wasn't the beast in the kitchen, okay, they would have never got through it. Tiffany brought in a very strong side with Garmanger, executed very well, and they said, we don't want to deal with it. Let's put Alex in the front.
So are you saying that Alex did not conceive of that dish?
He did not conceive that dish. Absolutely not.
Who did?
Ed and Angelo.
And why did they let him do the dish?
Because they don't have faith in his cooking ability.
So am I hearing that you guys really think Alex needs to go home?
Absolutely. I'll say it. I'll say it to him. I'll say it in front of anyone.
Who are you going to go that for? Just say you need to disqualify the whole team, you know?
We'll call you back in a bit. Thank you.
Bunch of bull.
Can we just be honest here?
You didn't do.
And Alex,
you didn't do nothing. I'm going to call right out. You didn't do a thing. Your ass should be going home.
Let me tell you something.
Your group even threw you out under the bus. Your group threw you under the bus. Your ass should be gone. You didn't do a thing.
Oh, stop.
Out of here, man.
We were very forward of who did what, and they acknowledged
that. They knew exactly what Alex did.
No, the reality, this is the reality. The reality. The reality is each person is a conceived dish. Yes or no? Yes or no? Caramel for a dish is not Angelo creating, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to take your lamb and I'm going to put this thing together. Everyone is supposed to have their hand at prepping. Does that mean that I was going to sit back and say, okay, well, Kelly, I'm going to go ahead and prep your whole dish?
They asked me to fillet the fish. They asked me to scale the fish. They asked me to do this. This is what I did, and I did what I could do with it. Just no need to justify anything.
It's ridiculous.
The dramatic shing. Now, I do think they had a point, but at the same time, it was just kind of like sour grapes to bring it
was
up.
It was a mute point is what it was.
Right. And when they came back, you know, the guy's like, unfortunately, the team won. So he's not, you know, he's safe.
He's not up, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
But my whole thing is like, well, maybe that should have been called into question before they won. But they're like, they judge it on cooking. So I don't know. But I definitely think something's wrong with doing that. They're like, you're not going to – we're going to make your dish for
you.
Well,
you know what?
Because you're going to screw it up.
If they're doing it that way, they would need to have a judge in the kitchen watching.
Right. They can't just go by what they said.
Yeah, there needs to be in there watching, observing not whether they interact well or together, but just whether everybody who conceives of their idea
– when the Kenny gets you know, kicked off. I was really shocked by that because I thought it would be the girl who had the overcooked meat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but
Amanda,
he had that big giant chunk of goat
cheese. Yeah, that they said it was just not good. What did they say, like, you know, your food, your salad is like rice-a-roni or
hamburger
helper.
Yeah.
And he just went,
yeah, hamburger helper.
Yeah, he was like hamburger helper. He was just like, wow. Like, wow, that was brutal. You know?
That was tough.
Like, dude, you know.
Well, I mean, he had that bad dish, and then he, you know, then he had the bad goat cheese thing. So I mean, both of his
the one,
dishes.
But the main thing, like after watching something like MasterChef, I was just like, you run the show, kick the guy off the show, Alex, you suck, get out of here. Every week, their little vote. Hey, call in. Does Alex totally suck or does he not? Text now. It's always like 90-something%. He blows. Like, who would you want in your kitchen, or will he mess things up? Have you noticed, like, the last 3 weeks, it's always Alex-related, and it's always, like, you know, off the charts, you know, like...
I actually feel a little bad for Alex, because, yeah, you know, he's obviously out of his league.
Yeah.
But there just seems to be this gang up on
him. Do you know what he reminds me of is the older chick that one season on Top Chef, Bill? They were all like, she needs to not be here.
Yes.
They all ganged up on her, like, all the time, and they hated her.
But if you wanted to get rid of somebody, wouldn't you let them cook?
Yeah, you'd think.
Let them cook and mess up their dish.
But I guess they don't
But they don't want to lose as a team. I understood that. But
one thing, you know, I guess I was like that. When, at the end of the episode, I was just like, I was kind of pissed off or just annoyed. But then Work of Art came on, and I thought it was an awesome finale.
It was good.
I did, too. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was cool how Simone, he went to each of their houses. They got 3 months to do their final project. And he talked with them. You know, he met parts of their family. And he would give them a critique. Like, you know, he told Abdi, he's like, you know, what you have here is interesting, but you're going to need something more. You can't just do it on talent alone. You got to show us something. And Peregrine.
Yeah, you have the skill to paint, but.
Yeah, and you know, Peregrine, I thought, sucked the whole season. I hated all of her stuff. Yeah. But a lot of her work that she showed, I was impressed by. I thought it was really interesting.
And yeah, I agree.
I think Miles' main problem is he went back home and he crawled back into his shell. Mm-hmm. And
he took a three-month-long nap.
Yeah, he laid down. His stuff was so strange and weird. You know, like taking.
I think he could have had something if he didn't become so
obsessive,
self-indulgent, and obsessive about it.
It was just
like I said, that didn't have a finish to his artwork.
Yeah, and it was like he didn't work in any other mediums. He just like printed up each pattern. You know,
plus it didn't mean anything to any of them until he explained what it was.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, what the hell is this shit? And you know, I know in the art world they have shit like that where you go, you look at it, and you're like, what the hell is this? You know. But
you know what they should, you know, another way he could have gone, if he was going with the death issue, if he'd have taken the newspaper of the guy's death, maybe.
Exactly.
And photographed that and then blew it up, you know, kind of the way he did the rest of the stuff, you know, and then focus on maybe digitized word death or something.
I think he was just, it was like being trapped in his OCD is what his presentation looked like. And, you know, they said Peregrine, you know, she had a lot of beautiful things like the sculptures and she had the two dead does.
Yeah, that.
Unborn. I thought that was beautiful in its own way. Morbid.
I thought it was beautiful, but it was completely out of place in her.
The rest of her stuff?
Yeah, the whole idea of this fair to have, you know, that.
I guess it was supposed to be
a sideshow.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a sideshow or whatever. But
okay, it's.
I thought it was a very good piece, but yeah, it all was kind of crazy. And I think she included the people vomiting because Simone was like, oh, I love this. You got to have this. It's like, I'm not going to not do it now.
Yeah.
But I thought her stuff was really good and she had a really good chance of winning. And Abdi, I really liked his floor sculptures. I almost wish he wouldn't have had the shorts and tennis shoes on them though. You know?
Yeah.
It almost gimmicked him up.
Yeah. He didn't need that at all. And when the one artist, what was the, it was a body bag or someone dead in a body bag and it was called Home. He was like,
yeah.
Wow. And he's just looking at it, he's like, oh, that's like moving.
You and could see he started to cry, that David LaChapelle, like, whoa.
And I was like, okay, yeah. But I mean, I thought it was interesting, but I was like, I'm definitely not on the same level that guy is when he appreciates a photograph or something. You know, I know I'm not, but he was just really kind of like blown away by that. And let's just find out who wins here. And I was saying in my head, and I've been saying it all season, Miles better not win this shit. Because I hate everything he does. You know, it's just like one guy said, hey, congratulations, you made another homeless shelter.
Yeah.
But and I know.
I can't stand the way he even looks, that sleepy-eyed.
Yeah.
Kind of wondering look. Like,
when Peregrine said, like, don't you think we look like our artwork? And Miles said, I hope I don't look like my artwork. And she goes, you do. You know, you look like your artwork.
Sleepy death.
Yeah, sleepy death.
Sleepy death.
He's got those huge bags under his eyes.
Well, when he walked off, he likes to sleep, you know.
And he loves White Castle.
One thing is I knew from the first episode when they showed Abdi's work, I really liked his work. And that first thing he did, the painting of the one guy with the cigarette in his mouth, I loved the vivid painting that he could do. And he kind of got away, you know, he started doing the sculpture. Remember, he did the video game sculpture. And then he did the bomb heads. And then he kind of did some weird stuff that didn't work at all. But I always thought he was, like, the most talented painter if he would just do more of that. So let's find out who won, guys.
Abdi. Peregrine. Hi. Miles. Throughout this competition, we have been inspired and excited by your work. And tonight was no different. Miles, you are an amazing artist. But you are not the winner. You let us inside of your head.
But it just felt like a work in progress.
I'm so bummed. It feels to lose, but I feel proud of the work that I produced just because I tried out a lot of new things
and you
that
can
I
leave.
Tried before.
Yeah. Thank you, Miles.
You let us in your head and we all fell asleep.
Because you know he goes around the corner and the 50 people are standing there and they're like, oh, sorry.
I like just figuring out as I go. It's much more simple.
Just Xerox and more stuff.
It's down to the two of you.
Peregrine, your work is deeply personal, totally intense. And you swept us up in your vision.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Your husband seems really strange.
Abdi, technically you have an amazing hand, but it was your heart that really moved
what
us
about
tonight.
My other hand?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Your feet are really nice, too.
Oh, music's going to look crazy here.
Congratulations.
Ooh.
You are the winner of Work of Art, the next great artist.
Holy God.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
He seems like such a genuine guy, too. I got choked up
by this. This is... Thank you.
He's like, where's my mom? Where's my mom? Try to find her in the group of people.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I had a $100,000 lottery ticket in the pocket of my coat, and I left the coat on the subway. But I'm really happy for Abby.
Even her explanation
is like Rocky trying to find like Adrian. I'm like, Mom, I gotta find her because this victory is as much hers as it is mine.
Abby,
I'm just gonna give my mom the whole $100,000 and let her give me some. She's sacrificed way more than I have. Just all that she's done for me in the past 3 months, but then all the stuff that she's done for me in the past 22 years.
You're channeling. You know, you're channeling. I don't know. It's like a renaissance going on inside of you. Yeah, seriously.
This is just a door to do what I was created to do. Hopefully, I can just keep making amazing art.
So that was really cool. I thought it was a cool show. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to the next season.
Yeah, I loved it at the very end. If you would like to be on the show, and I was like, oh, okay, they're coming back. Because I thought it was really cool how they sent them home. It kind of reminded me of Top Chef, but this was cooler because they worked on something that you couldn't wait to see. Like, oh, I want to see what they've come up with.
Yeah.
And they gave them all an art show, and it felt really special. They had all their family and friends there, the previous contestants. Then everyone got to show up and look at it all. That was really cool, the way they did that.
I also like that they're going to take one of the pieces and auction it.
Right. And, Steven, don't think that I didn't think that you need to try out for next season, huh? Come on, Steven, you're a sculptor. Why couldn't you be on the show?
I could, but it's just a money issue.
Come on, you could do it. All these people on the show are flat broke.
Yeah, but I do have a house payment.
Hey, no. Just how long do you think they took to film this season? Maybe like 2 weeks or something? A month or what?
Yeah,
probably a month
or
two.
The 3 months it takes to build an art.
I'm going
to
enter you in it for you, Steven.
The 3 months that it takes to build a portfolio like that for a giant show.
Just sell all your old stuff.
Would just be crazy.
But I thought it was a cool show. I can't wait to see more of it. And you know,
I would like to be on a show like that, to be forced to, you know, to work because I'm just so lazy by myself.
Yeah, just like or do stuff you don't normally want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't mind having
the first thing I would do any of those. Like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, take my clothes off. It's like he's doing
I'm
like
take pictures of my naked body.
He's doing what that Jacqueline did last season. I don't.
Man,
want these
I
women.
Hate when people objectify me.
I like cross out women's eyes. They're all staring at me, undressing me. Their eyes. It's like, well, yeah. What are you smoking, pal?
Why are women so predatory towards me?
Now, guys, let's talk about The Colony. I loved how The Colony started out with, and it was that the outhouse, basically, essentially, Bill, the shitter was full.
The Merry Christmas.
But what I loved about this, the guy, he's going like, oh, we got to do something. This thing is full. Well, let's cut a hole in it and dump it all out. And the sound of it all dumping out, you know, because they blurred it. And I'm glad they did.
I love that they blurred it. Like pee and poo is indecent. It needs to be blurred.
It is indecent. Do you want to see turds floating out in piss? I don't want to see that shit on my TV.
No, I don't want to see it.
I was glad they blurred it.
Not necessarily, but it still made me laugh.
Yeah, no, I'm very thankful that they blurred that, but the sound was still there.
A big chunky floater, plop.
Listen to the sound effect. I love it. Let's check this out.
The outhouse is reaching the top. Everything's dirty. Everything's dirty. Everything's a mess. The toilet has to be cleaned. There's a rotten, putrid stench and the possibility of sickness.
Shit.
We're going to take that outhouse and cut a hole in the bottom and let the doo-doo do what it does down in that hole.
Oh, he should have said do what it do.
Gotta do what you gotta do, right?
You ready for the pouring?
We have floater. Slowly.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it's
in there.
Still going.
A little bit of dirt on there. That should keep the flies out. That should keep the stench down.
Gross.
I'd like some raw sewage to start your day.
You know, I was surprised that it took them so long for new people to show up in the experiment, because on the first episode last season, the very first episode, the new people showed up, didn't they? It was at least the first episode. But now, what is this, the third episode they've shown up?
Yeah,
and it was only two people, whereas before I think it was four.
Yeah, and they started searching their bags. But this time they're like, okay, it's cool. We can tell they're part of the experiment. We'll put them in their own house. But they start going out of the house and like grabbing stuff like a shovel. And he's like, whoa, 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 this isn't going to work, man. We got to go talk to these people. And what that one guy who dumped all the shit out, I forget his name. But
yeah, the carpenter.
He's kind of psychotic. Am I right?
Kind of?
Because it was on the first episode, he ran up and tackled the dude, and he goes, you're a dead man, or whatever. And now this time, when they're talking to this lady, things kind of get hairy here. Let's just check this out.
Just a little.
That's nuts.
Hey, guys. Can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah, what's up?
You guys planning on setting up camp in that building over there?
Yeah, for the moment.
If you guys want to make it your house, you can, but we just like to get our crap out of there.
Why don't we all just go right now? Is that cool?
That's fine.
You got your crap.
Yeah.
Would you guys mind staying here?
Sure, no problem. We'll wait here.
Thank you.
I mean, you're kind of being pretty possessive here over a property that we gave you.
Well, I mean, with this property, what, you built it or you found it? It was here when you came?
Here's the deal, dude. If you're going to stay here and you're going to stay this close to us and we have offered this place to you, I think that we deserve a little bit of respect. And then you can stay here under the rules that we've established.
I'm like, seriously, I get you. I get it.
You we've don't get to, it, dude. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
You won't let me talk. Can I talk?
Absolutely.
Here we go. I let you talk. Here's me talking. I get it. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to disrespect you. I'm not trying to claim your stuff, okay? You don't want us in this house. We'll set somewhere else
I
up to be.
I didn't say that.
What I'm saying to you is this.
We gotta observe the quarantine, man.
What you're saying is it's unreasonable for us to want to take certain precautions when we have people that a bunch
what
of people right next to us.
I mean, we can throw your asses out of here if that's what we wanted to do. We're trying to be cool, and you guys are giving a shit about it.
Yeah. Okay, so what part of making this existence habitable for the next 2 days, 3 days, a week?
How long are you gonna stay?
As long as I feel like it.
Really?
Well, listen,
if that's the case, then you guys got to get in quarantine, and we got to make sure
this is quarantine.
Then don't leave it.
We have our own quarantine.
Why can't I be quarantined here?
We already said go in there and stay in there for 12 hours, and you didn't do it.
You guys have to be.
You don't understand how quarantine works.
How many people are in your quarantine work?
I'll tell you what.
Quarantine. How many people?
Look here.
How many people?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. Answer the question. How many people are in your quarantine room? One. How many people are here right now?
You had two in your quarantine room?
Their stories didn't line up.
I love this. They're telling the truth.
You guys shared a quarantine cell?
Liars. Both of you.
Quarantine times individual room. Well, they said they had theirs together.
Now we know you weren't in a VOPA camp.
Exactly. You guys were separate.
How long were you in there? How long was your quarantine?
I was in there longer.
How long was your
Quarantine. Now you're lying to me.
30 some hours.
Dude, we were there for two. I was there for two nights.
One said 32 hours. The other one said 2 days. It doesn't add up.
Now you don't know what the hell you're saying.
You guys get separated for 12 hours in quarantine. You
go get my knife.
You can't
right now.
You can't touch each other.
I will cut you up in a million pieces.
What the f*** are you talking about? Watch threatening me?
I was like, dude.
Jim was getting more hostile and more threatening than kind of getting the point across. I think he had good intentions, but he doesn't have the social skills to deal with situations like that. And
he's a retard.
Listen, if it'll make you guys feel better, and we're allowed to keep our own stuff there,
absolutely,
we'll go to quarantine.
You can take your stuff with you. You can grab it and you can take it over there.
All right.
The guy, he can make a bridge. He can't fish for shit, though. And he's got no social skills.
And he's stabby.
And remember the smokehouse, he like even set that on fire. And he's like, he was working just fine till you got over here. The main thing doesn't work. It's made out of plywood. It's going to catch on fire. It's like, he's working just fine till you came over here.
You try to build a bonfire in this.
Is he the one he's like, I made some fish head soup. It's like,
I think he put too much wood in the smoker, and obviously he didn't soak it, so it caught fire and ended up burning the box.
Smoker box.
You know, the show, it's interesting. Like you were saying, Bill, it's hard to let go of last year's people that were in it.
It is, because they were such great characters.
Right.
And I think we actually connected with those people, and these people I haven't really gotten to know yet. There's nobody that has really made their mark. Like, I love that John, the scientist that lost his son and had those rocks that he would put in.
I like Lincoln, though.
Lincoln, yeah. And I like, is that DeVille?
Yeah.
Which one? Yeah, I like that guy.
Which one's Lincoln?
The older black man.
Lincoln DeVille? I know his name's DeVille.
Yeah,
DeVille.
And model chick.
He's full of knowledge, you know.
The young guy that was talking to them, he's trying to be smart about it. He just had the dumbass there with him making it
he
worse.
Reminds me of Joey, the contractor from the first season.
It doesn't help when you're trying to talk to him and the guy next to you is like, you guys are lying! You know, like, that's like,
shut up, Beaver.
But the one guy who made the machete, I thought that was pretty cool. And then he was like, sting, or whatever. But he should have made everybody machetes. Especially when they went out to look for stuff and those guys with like cattle prod show. What the hell was that about?
That the guy though that like in the first episode had to go take a nap?
Yeah.
And he went I mean it just
I think well, that was early in the experiment. I almost think like it's like, oh yeah, oh okay, yeah, like we're in a post-apocalyptic world. But I think the more you're deprived and you're there, it starts to become more real to you.
Okay, yeah.
I think early on he's just like, dude, I'm tired, I'm taking a nap, I don't care if we're in this world with viruses or whatever. Because, you know, in reality, when they're like, you guys need to go in quarantine, it's like, guys, we're play acting. I don't need to go in quarantine. There is no nuclear flu.
Yeah.
But they're not saying that. It's part
they're
of the experiment.
Glorified LARPers.
Yeah. Lightning bolt.
I was waiting for it.
But I really like The Colony. It's a fun show. And next week when, you know, they always show the little scenes or whatever. And the one model chick, you know, they're like, unfortunately, she goes out to get food or something like that. But, Bill, what do you say we talk about Entourage?
Yeah, you know, I've actually enjoyed it lately.
Like, last week I thought it was pretty funny. They brought Stan Lee in, and I thought that was funny when they bring in Sasha Grey, and he's like,
I'm loving the Sasha Grey stuff.
And he's like, where do I know you from? I thought that was funny. And this week she's still there. The stuff with Turtle selling, or he wants to get Vince to go in on the tequila thing.
The PR guy. I
don't know what that's all about.
I can do without Turtle.
I could do without the Turtle and him shaving his pubic area and all that. And I don't need to see a Turtle sex scene ever. I don't need to see
God, it. No. Even if it is with what's her name from Heroes.
Yeah. But that's repulsive. I don't want to see that.
repulsive. Almost ruins
One thing when on the previous like scenes to next week when they bring this director guy back, I was like, oh god, no! It's they're out of ideas. They're bringing this crazy guy back, but the guy is like he's off drugs and all this, and he's trying to be a normal guy and all that. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's a little bit different. But it's kind of like when they bring Bob Saget back. I'm like, oh, not this again. It wasn't funny the first
time. You know what? Bob Saget is overstaying his welcome on that show.
Right. That's exactly what I thought when he's back. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, he cusses a lot. Really funny. So let me guess. He's an asshole, you know? Whenever they bring in a celebrity guest, it's always funny that they're an asshole, you know? Mm-hmm. But no, we don't need any more of that. But we do have Ari going through his legal troubles with the ex-employee here. And I did think this little bit here was funny when he was like, what will your employees say if they're questioned? And he brought in Lloyd. This is mildly amusing. Let's check this out.
Lloyd!
Yes.
What would you say about my treatment of you over the last 5 years?
Treatment?
This is Jim Lefkowitz, Lloyd, our attorney.
Attorney, what's going on?
The lovely Lizzie Grant may sue me.
And you, Lloyd, and everyone who works here may be asked to describe how Ari treats his employees. So what would you say?
Ari has always been gracious and lovely, fair and reasonable. This has been a dreamlike job from minute one.
And would you say that if you were under oath facing a perjury charge and possible jail time?
Oh, God, I can't do time, Ari. I don't think anybody in my family could. I'm sorry.
Go. So you think others would speak better of him?
Worse is my guess.
Yeah, I love that he's screwed, right? He's totally screwed. There's nothing he could do. And another thing is, you know, I know Ari has been a total prick to everybody. That's his character. Yeah. And I don't feel bad for him at all. I don't know why
you
guys.
What's funny is that this is coming along with the Mel Gibson tapes.
Yeah. Do you think that's kind of like
reality becomes fiction, but they couldn't have. They had to have shot this months ago before that even was a blip on the radar.
Yeah, what's funny about it is Ari's basically trying to keep the truth from leaking out about him. That he can be an asshole to work for, and he says horrible things all the time. That's what he does. It's not like she's lying. And she even says that she doesn't want money from him. She's not going to sue him. But she's released all the information out.
But, it's strange that, all of a sudden now you're offended by it when you quit.
Right. It's but like, at the same time.
You know what doesn't work, though?
Is
everyone knows Ari's an asshole.
Right.
So what is this going to do to him? Nothing.
Not much.
Everyone already knows that he's vulgar and he's offensive and he's a dick. I mean, it's nothing no one already doesn't know.
If anything, it causes the NFL to back off because he loses the NFL. But yeah, at the same time, you work at a job like that, your dream job or whatever, you're an agent, and you have to put up with your dickheaded boss, you know?
Yeah.
So I can see that. You hate it. That's why she started recording him. You know, I think that's pretty shitty.
That's illegal, too.
Is illegal.
Without another person's consent, you can't record them.
And it's shitty, but at the same time,
I don't know what the wiretap laws are like anymore. What about the Mel Gibson thing?
That's what they're saying, that they may not be admissible in court because she recorded without his.
But she's okay. This girl on here, Lizzie, she says, I'm not suing you, Ari, but I am releasing the tapes to the world so everyone hears it. So she's not trying to legally do something.
And that's kind of like Mel Gibson, you know. It's like, okay, everybody's going to know what a dick you are.
I love that.
They're going to know how psycho you are.
Smile and blow.
But, you know, you're not going to be able to use this in a court because it's illegal. Right. You've taken
but that's
a,
the
knowledge.
Main thing is like I'm supposed to be on Ari's side or whatever, but I don't feel bad for him because he's a prick. Remember he went what if like once Ari, if you heard about that, some CEO of a company went around with a paintball gun shooting all the employees.
He's got it framed in his wall on his office. Yeah.
If people the real world heard that happened, they go, what the hell? Like get rid of that guy. That guy shouldn't. But hey, he's got it coming to him. Now, also, we have this bit with Vinny. Is Vinny spiraling out of control, you guys?
The hair.
Yeah, he's just having fun with the porn stars, as far as I know.
Well,
but
he hurt his back in
he
that
took
crash,
that one Vicodin, though.
Well, you don't know how many he's taken. He alludes that he's taken one.
Let's check this out. This is serious shit, guys.
To what do we owe this pleasure?
Turtle, posting a video of you and Sasha on Twitter.
I just got reamed out by Sean.
That was unintentional. I edited smaller parts. I accidentally uploaded the whole thing.
I thought it was cute.
How do you start telling guys to fuck like him and girls to fuck like a porn star isn't cute, Vince.
I said that?
Yes.
You did.
I'm sure the way I said it was very charming.
Toto, what happened? I thought the tequila company was going to be on the down low.
No, it only went out to my Twitter followers.
You have 1.5 million followers.
I do?
Yeah. Now TMZ, Perez Hilton, and Just Jared all want to know if Sasha's your girlfriend.
Well, tell them she is.
I thought we were just really good friends.
Look, Vince, you just got the biggest offer of your career today, all right? I just want to make sure you're focused.
I'm focused.
Someone turn that horrible music off.
Me.
You see? So how was the offer? Was it good?
Yeah, it's great. Ari's looking it over right now.
All right. Well, things are happening.
I closed my eyes for 1 minute, and he's dating porn stars and starting a tequila company?
Look, Ari, don't
you
walk
look. I need to talk to you. My wife's in the car. She's ready to shoot me. So I got to talk fast.
I already spoke to Shauna.
Well, I talked to Dana and the director, and they're freaking out. How can you let this guy show up drunk and with a porn star to a meeting?
He took a Vicodin, Ari, and I didn't let him.
How is he doing now?
He's fine.
The studio wants to sit down with him to make sure that he is.
Jesus.
Look, is this thing real, the relationship with the porn star?
What? No.
You sure?
Ari, Vince is fine.
Where is he? I want to talk to him.
He's out by the pool.
Jesus.
Vince, wake up. You have more visitors. Wake up.
Yeah, he looks fine.
Oh my God.
Vinny.
Oh no.
What's going to happen? What? I don't know. I just know if the next episode opens with him having his stomach pumped or something, but they don't do that on Entourage. The next episode will be a week later or something.
He'll be
fine. That's true Hollywood stories.
Yeah, I wonder where they're going with all this, but I hope he doesn't lose Airwalker. It's like the worst name for a movie I've ever heard. Really. So it's like Airbender,
what? And it's such a vague comic reference. Wasn't Airwalker like a Thor thing?
I have no idea. I just thought it sounded like too much like Airbender or something, you know. But
yeah, okay, Airwalker. Fictional Marvel Comics created by Stan Lee. Appeared in Fantastic Four number 120.
So they just kind of like pulled a property out just to use on the show, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. But, you know, I got to say, I've been more entertained by these more recent episodes.
I have. I've been enjoying them. I'm having fun with it because it hasn't been taking itself too seriously. But now with the whole Vince addicted to prescription pills, I'm getting scared again.
And I got to say, less Scott Conn, okay? Less Scott Conn.
God, is he an asshole.
He's so douchey. Now, Bill, you haven't been able to talk about True Blood the last 2 weeks. What do you think about this season so far?
It's kind of going back to the first season style. You know, very bloody and sexy and nasty and all things good that we loved about the first season.
Yeah.
Plus, there's no Marianne.
Yeah, I'm really loving all the vampire stuff. Oh, plus the evil bitch that we all hated, Lorena?
Lorena, yeah.
Bill's master, she gets offed. I was like, yes! I was like clapping out loud. But then we bring in the other girl.
Ugh.
Who is the were bitch. She comes in and it's like, okay, she's been replaced, you know.
Yeah, that was Dub Dub's friend from Middleman.
Lacey from Middleman,
yeah.
Completely different. And you can tell she can act because she's a completely different person. But I think the Sam stuff with his creepy ass family is interesting. You know, they're doing the dog fights or whatever. I think the Jason stuff, I don't know where that's going, but I'm entertained by it because he's such a moron.
He really is an idiot.
And what the hell are those people, werewolves too? That the crystal girl or... Are they cannibals?
They
what the hell?
Yeah, I think they're werewolves, maybe.
The guy's eating like a deer or something in his garage. Because
they could smell it out. They said a shifter, you know, can smell you, shifter. So.
And they even show Sam. He goes, and all of a sudden the guy shows up and he's like,
there's something.
He's like, shifter trash or something. Like, they look down on whatever Sam and his brother are. And his brother is going to get him in nothing but trouble because all he likes to do is fight. And, man. I mean, I have no problem with gay people or whatever, Lafayette, but when they have those gay kisses come on, I'm like, dude.
Well, in this episode, it wasn't just gay kissing. It was like full-on man body.
The stuff with Eric and the guy. What's that dude's name? I forgot.
Talbot.
Oh, man. But the stuff.
When he goes, turn over.
I was like, no. It's like, this is HBO. They can do whatever they want. Where's the remote? It's like, no. But I love this part here. Talbot's always bitching at the king. And I always wonder, is he going to just kill Talbot eventually? But we figure out in this episode that he loves that guy. He does care about his bitching housewife. Talbot is his bitching housewife. And I love the scene here where Eric kind of interrupts them and they have this talk.
You're acting like a century-old child.
Relax! I've already sent a $500,000 check to the AVL in support of their foolish vampire rights amendment.
You can buy your way out of everything!
Of course I can. This is America.
Forgive the interruption, Your Majesty. There's a were-bitch in your study.
Go. While I babysit your wife.
What's up, pumpkin?
They killed my cooter.
Oh, he died a hero.
He weren't no hero. He just wanted to do some V and have a little fun. And they shot him in the heart. Let her go after him. I'll rip their skinheads off.
I like your energy. What do you think, Northman?
Well, I enjoy a good head ripping as much as the next vampire. But in this case, it might be wise to consider the value of the heads in question.
You mean the Stackhouse girl? Yeah, she's something special, isn't she?
She's my ex-boyfriend and made him shoot my fiancé. She's a cut.
But she's a special cut.
Don't worry, darling. I'll let you play with her first. Respectfully, Your Majesty, given the recent turn of events, bringing Sookie into this may not be the best idea. Well, that's exactly why I need her. I may have inadvertently started a war tonight. Miss Stackhouse could be my secret weapon.
Well, Sookie's abilities are unpredictable at best. And like most humans, she's ruled by petty emotions. I would not trust her.
The real question is, can I trust you? You turned on your own queen. And now that I've freed your feisty little ward, how do I know you won't sell me out as well?
Because I have been searching for you for 1,000 years. A true leader. One strong enough to unite us all. I believe my maker, Godric, was such a vampire, but he was weak. He succumbed to his humanity, and it killed him. Dispatching the Magister, it proved without a doubt that my search... it has finally ended.
That was rash and foolish.
It was brave and uncompromising.
And I didn't mind it either.
Vampires yearn for someone to stand up to the tyranny of the authority for centuries. Just give me the chance. And I will show you just how deep my loyalty runs.
Didn't you love that, Bill? How earlier in previous episodes, how they showed that his parents were killed by this guy, and he's just slowly, methodically finding his open to kill the guy.
Yeah, that I've been waiting the entire season so far, but didn't he kind of show his hand by killing Talbot?
Yeah, he's ready to do to show his true reason for being there, I guess. And I like the standoff at Sookie's house, and I like that they actually showed Bill and Jessica have a moment, because she's kind of been kind of on her own this season, and I think they need more of Jessica. I think she's really good, and she needs to be taught stuff, and I thought it was cool. Good. He was showing her how to fight and stuff like that. So later on when...
get faster. And
yeah.
Use some powers.
Well, later on when the werewolves come and he's there fighting one of them and you see another one, then she shows up and... starts fighting with that guy. I thought that was good. And didn't you want Sookie just to blow the chick away? Yeah. Like,
I really did.
Like, you're not supposed to talk to the bad guy. Just blow him away. I know why she didn't, because she cares about Alcide or whatever, but that bitch is trouble. I even like a previous episode, she was peeking around the corner, Sookie, and she saw Cooter and her. They were like, and Debbie, they were like going, oh, baby, and rubbing all over each other and running away. She just goes, trash. That's essentially what they are. And the king is there, and he's kicking Bill's ass. He's already bit Jessica, and they're both screwed. There's no way that they can beat him because he's such an old vampire. But then Eric gets Talbot, and he, you know, he knows what happened to him, and he's like, oh, and he flies away or whatever. I thought that was a cool little distraction. But I think it's been a lot of fun, and I think I can hit upon a lot of what didn't work last season is that Michelle Forbes, even though I like her and stuff, she's not a good bad guy. You can't weigh an entire season on her being the bad guy. It didn't work. It may have worked like on as Kane on Battlestar Galactica, but it didn't work as this. We can't even get a grip on what the hell she's supposed to be in the first place.
It could have been good if they would have taken it, I don't know, been a little more deft with it.
They were campy and goofy with it.
Yeah.
With all the orgies and stuff. But this guy, the king, this guy is chewing up the scenery as the king, I think. I think he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He reminds me, I mean it in a good way, he's very Palpatine-ish in a way. He reminds me of...
Oh my God, now that you say that, you're right. He's very Palpatine.
He's having a good time because he feels like he's unbeatable.
That is awesome.
And it's been a really fun season. You know, there's a few gay things that go on that make you kind of uncomfortable. You remember, we didn't even talk about...
I feel bad feeling uncomfortable.
I know, because usually I don't, but, I mean, come on, the dudes are completely naked. They're there writhing around. He goes, flip over. I'm like, no.
Yo,
saying no. But luckily,
what else can you think when that's said?
And then Eric pulls out the steak. I'm like, I'm looking halfway through my hands. And it's like, he's not holding a dildo, is he? Oh, wait, it's a steak. Okay, I'm pulling my hands away. He's going to. But I like he goes, this is for my parents. Or what does he say? Whatever he says, Talbot goes, uh-oh. He's like, uh-oh, yeah, look on the steak.
My family, now I'm going to take his.
And he kind of goes, The look on his face is priceless. Like, oh, shit. But I love it. That's True Blood. I can't wait to talk more about it. Now, Bill, what do you say? You ready to do some news? It's been a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do the news!
There's a were-bitch in your study.
Oh, well, maybe
I'll get to her in a moment. I have news first, Derek.
All right. Priorities.
All right, I think everyone has seen this video. I just had to bring it up. The woman that threw a hissy fit, well, more than a hissy fit, she went ape shit in Toledo, Ohio at a McDonald's drive-thru. Because they don't serve chicken nuggets in the morning.
Oh, man, I wish I had seen this. I haven't.
Yeah, it's this this closed-circuit TV footage. You know, they have the cameras in front of the drive-thru. And she pulls up to the window and starts yelling. And then she gets out of her car and starts reaching through to grab and punch at the attendant.
Wow.
Yeah. Once the attendant finally gets the window shut, she throws something through the window and shatters it. And what cracked me up is the woman gets back in her car and takes off, and the person behind her pulls up, and they just, it's like, just going through the motions. They open the window and hand the person their food.
But it's just like, we've seen it all before. Let's just keep going, guys.
Yeah, they busted.
But it says, let me read it from the beginning. Dramatic
Closed-circuit TV footage shows the moment a furious woman launched a violent attack on restaurant staff because they would not serve her chicken nuggets. The tantrum was caught on tape in Toledo, Ohio. Fast food fan Melody DeShane was clearly not loving it after she was told she couldn't have her favorite snack because it was still breakfast.
She clearly wasn't loving it. I love that.
That entire that slogan so bad. I wish I could go back to the years and remember every slogan they had.
What?
DeShane, who admits being drunk, really?
No.
Got out of her car and hit the drive-through employee in the mouth.
Holy shit!
At that point, the manager came over. And DeShane swung a few more times.
No way.
However, in the footage, it was seen that the manager tried to pull her through the window by her hair. Other employees prompted the manager to let her go. They closed the window as DeShane tried to push it open. Later, she broke the window with a bottle. It was a bottle. That thing shattered. I thought it was one of those, you know, those things you keep in your car that they sell in, like, the dollar store that can, like, a little hammer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this window just shatters.
Relax!
So she throws the bottle, speeds off. Police later brought a vandalism charge against her, and she was sentenced to 60 days in prison and to pay for the broken window.
Wow, and she's not going to get nuggets for a long time.
No. They don't serve McDonald's nuggets in prison.
In through the nose, out through the mouth.
She just needed to do a breathing exercise.
That's where I've been in Toledo the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, the video is fantastic. There's no sound, but just to see this woman go absolutely apeshit.
I need to check that out.
Catch you up good. In a million pieces.
And you know what doesn't really make much sense is aren't they serving those chicken and biscuits now for breakfast?
Yeah.
Where you can get like a chicken patty on a biscuit. Why not serve chicken nuggets for breakfast?
Dude, that McDonald's breakfast is perfect drunk food, man. Like a sausage biscuit. It's all
man,
acidic.
When we were traveling, it was a 12-hour drive to Nag's Head, North Carolina. So my sisters went, you know, they all packed. Well, two of my sisters and her daughter packed in the car and went, and my other sister and her brother, or my brother-in-law and their kid went, and I packed in the car with my mom and dad, so we wouldn't have everyone drive in a car, and we'd only drive 6 hours a shift, and we ended up staying the night, and the next morning we stopped, and it was the first time I had McDonald's breakfast in like 2 or 3 years, and that sausage, egg, and cheese on a biscuit.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Oh, my God, I was just, it was like heaven.
You know, I love that stuff. Later on, I feel like all the moisture has been sucked out of my body. Like
that is so strange because I felt the same way. And I get this really bad heartburn from the orange juice.
Like my mouth's all like milky, like a cotton mouth. So
yeah.
If I have McDonald's breakfast, I have to drink water with it because that shit like sucks the moisture out of your body.
And those
one
like
of these very rare these days.
Those hash brown patties are so greasy and delicious.
Oh, they're greasy and delicious. That's exactly right.
And I mean, you grab it out of that little paper package they put it in, and you can feel your fingertips being moisturized by the oil.
You better hope they didn't just pull it out of the fryer, too, because otherwise it's going to burn your fingertips.
Oh, for God's sake, you dumb
bitch. Yeah, that happened to me, too.
Well, but it's even worse when you get served something in the paper see-through because of all the grease.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know what's sad is on the way back on the second leg, we stopped in the morning and we were going to go to McDonald's, but it was just too much of a hassle to cross traffic. So we ended up going to Burger King. And I'm sorry, Burger King, but you don't have anything on McDonald's.
They don't do breakfast well. Yeah.
I got a croissant sandwich.
Yeah.
Or croissant, which
yeah,
and it's so bad.
They used to make this omelet sandwich that was pretty good. I don't know.
You know what?
Jack in
the Box, they do awesome. Jack in the Box, I like their breakfast.
I had the ultimate breakfast this morning.
And Jack in the Box, they serve breakfast any time of day, so you could get like their giant.
If Burger King actually served a croissant with their croissant, which it would, and maybe it would be good, but it's this like faux croissant bun thing,
yeah.
And it just tastes weird. It doesn't taste buttery or any. It's just like a bun.
Like, I think at Jack in the Box they call it a crescent breakfast, but I'm like, I would like the croissant breakfast. Yeah. You mean the crescent breakfast? That's all we got. We don't got none of them croissant things you talking about. It's like,
I get you.
What the hell
you.
Kind of language you speaking, boy?
Get out of here, Frenchie.
Frenchie, we got freedom fries. Really? All right, here's a little sort of cult news. I'm worried for Zac Efron.
Uh-oh.
Very worried. Because he's starting to get, you know, he's starting to get his main big roles. He's got that Charlie St. Cloud movie.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. And he's you it looks like he's going to become like the next kind of good looking guy movie star.
He's the next Rob Lowe.
If you will. Until he has a
sex tape.
Bizarre sex tape.
And his career's never quite the same.
Yeah. So, anyways. Guess who came knocking on Zac Efron's door? I'll give you two guesses, but you're really only going to need one.
Let's see.
It's a star who kind of, you know, wants to recruit people. Oh, really nailed it. yeah.
Oh,
in
dear.
Fact, when you open the door, that's the laugh you hear. Like, yeah, I'm going to brainwash you.
Let me see who it is. Let me open. Ah! He's got me. He even has like a dark shroud over him. It's like, ah!
He's got the e-meter in a bag. He's ready to audit. Left.
He's got men in these white suits that hold you down. We're going to give you a little reading. No!
The infectious laugh hypnotizes you.
He shoots the lightning bolts out of his eyes.
Just talk about your problems. No, I'm not talking about my problems.
So in Details magazine this September, there's an interview with Zac Efron, and he recalls an incident in which Tom Cruise actually flagged him down in the lobby of the CAA talent agency and invited him to hang out.
What do you mean by
that? He says that Tom Cruise asked Efron if he rode motorcycles, and when Efron said that he did not, Tom Cruise said, "You want to learn?" So they made a date to hang out at Cruise's house, and Tom Cruise taught him how to ride a motorcycle, and he got to look at his extensive garage and collection of motorcycles, including the Triumph motorcycles he rode in the Mission Impossibles, and Cruise even took Efron under his wing, and he's like, "Hey, you can. I can help you out here. You know, you just got to do what I tell you to do and don't fall for all the trappings of Hollywood life." So it looks like Tom Cruise is on the hunt for a new high-profile Scientologist.
Do you think he was like Zac Efron? That's what he thought his name was?
He's the incarnation.
He is the chosen one. Zac Efron Hubbard. He's like, no, it's Efron. Oh, shit, sorry.
Get out of my house.
I don't like this Scientology business. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
All right, so I had no idea there was such a thing as the World Sauna Championships.
Huh?
Yeah, I thought saunas were just kind of like you go out, you know, you sweat it out a little bit.
It'd
take some vitamins.
To think otherwise.
Get rid of your thetans.
That would get rid of those. They'd be all soggy.
Apparently in Helsinki, two finalists in Finland's annual World Sauna Championship were rushed to the hospital before the competition ended, and the Russian participant died. The Russian competitor died in the sauna. He added that the Finnish finalists had been taken from the competition location and taken to the hospital. They were told that the two Russian finalists were Vladimir Lady Zensky and Timo Kakkonen.
Vladimir Lady?
Lady Zensky. L-A-D-Y.
Help me.
Kakkonen of Finland won the championship.
Kakkonen O'Brien?
Yeah, Kakkonen. Wasn't there a character in Dune named Kekkonen or something?
Hmm.
I can't remember.
What?
So, you know, they really expected this lady, Lady Zinsky, to pull it out, but
Whoa.
It turns out that once you get up to around 110 degrees Celsius.
Sorry about that in there.
I think that might have happened. I don't think they can take dumps in the sauna.
That's all the stuff that comes up. That's dumping out thetans, I think.
Oh, okay. Those are the thetans that's on the floor. So they got up to 110 degrees Celsius, which is 230 degrees Fahrenheit. And it looks like that was just too much for Lady Zinsky.
It seems like if you were to die in a sauna championship, you won, right?
You're the most relaxed.
Yeah,
you win!
You're like
until,
raising up
until
the dead
arm. Sets in.
And let the doo-doo do what it does.
That's what I was kind of wondering. How do you win? Are you the most relaxed?
How do you win?
I think you just kind of got to tap out. You stay in until everyone leaves.
You just got to say really, really just...
In through the nose, out through the mouth.
Exactly.
I guess both these guys that were in there, the one that died and the one that survived from Finland, have serious burns from, sitting in this 230 degree Fahrenheit heat.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, that's it. Yeah, because you think of a sauna as a, kind of steamy
It's a crock pot.
it's basically a crock pot.
I guess if you can't play basketball or something like that, what else are you going to do?
Mom, I want to grow up to be a sauna champion.
Sauna champion.
Good for you, son. We'll encourage you.
Can you guys buy me a sauna?
Maybe, you can go on Price is Right and win one. They have them all the time.
How dare you?
All right. A pastor was arrested Monday for protesting Warner Robins High School demon nickname and mascot.
No way.
Yeah, he said he was just standing up for Jesus. Something tells me Jesus doesn't really need people to stand up for him, but hey.
Which won't do shit.
Pastor Donald Crosby said the school's demon logo just encourages children to be evil. Oh, you're such an asshole. I don't scare easily. Lock me up as many times as you have to lock me up. Kill me if you have to. I'm standing up for Jesus.
What?
He criticized other Christians, he says, who are singing in church while their children are being taught to praise demons.
Jesus.
Demons aren't lazy. Christians are, he said.
They were rotten words. How dare you?
Well, I guess our he said the lazy city Christians of, won't fight back.
The city of Warner Robins must repent for its demon praising.
Oh my God.
He makes me think of that woman that was on Trading Spouses. I'm a God warrior.
Really?
Gargoyles.
Wow. So what is the school has a demon on their flag? Like, what are they?
No, the school's mascot is a demon. It's basically they're the demons, and they have like the, no different than the Duke Blue Devils.
It's like too easy. It's like a demon. It's on a flag. Yeah. I got to protest this.
It's got
it's
that like
word,
that,
dude.
That Salvador Dali type of mustache and.
What?
Salvador. It's basically when you think of like a caricature of Satan, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. I wonder, has he protested Duke Blue Devils?
He should, because they're even worse. I hear blue's even worse than red.
Duke Blue Jesus is what it should be. The Blue Jesus. I think that would offend a lot more people.
The Blue Jesus. Disciples. So says that the city of Warner Robins must repent. And he's the pastor of the Kingdom Builders Church of Jesus Christ
nice
in Macon. So I guess heaven needs builders, and he's one of the contractors. police spoke to Tabitha Pugh of the spokes, or I'm sorry, police spokeswoman Tabitha Pugh says 36-year-old Crosby was arrested after police told him he didn't have a picketing permit. Also, that's what he gets arrested for, is he's not allowed to protest. You have to have a permit to protest. Crosby and a small group protested outside the school on the opening day of classes. Really, that's all they have to do on opening day of school. It's bad enough these kids have to go to school in early August, let alone...
Yeah, now we got to deal with this shit?
Yeah, who are these assholes? It's funny that he starts this petition to remove the demon as the mascot, but others have started a petition in favor of keeping it. So, you know, they've tried to work with the pastor to make the protest legal, but the guy just doesn't want to do it. He just wants to be an ass.
Bunch of bull.
They asked him several times to leave the property and go obtain a permit so they can legally and lawfully protest. But he refused to and was arrested. He was released from the Houston County Jail on bond. So Houston County, Texas, I'm guessing. He's an asshole. And moving on. picky eaters. This is really, really bizarre.
Picky
Bob
eaters?
Bob Krause hates Thanksgiving.
What?
And he calls himself a picky eater. He won't eat anything that's served at a traditional Thanksgiving dinner or any other dinner, for that matter.
What?
Krause survives on little more than grilled cheese sandwiches, French fries, and waffles.
Do you gotta always be difficult on
that's
every
the way it is.
Thing?
And like other picky eaters, Krause hopes that a registry of adult picky eaters, recently begun by Duke University and the University of Pittsburgh, will bring attention.
Blue Devils, Bill?
Yes, the Duke Blue Devils. And they will bring attention to the problem he believes should be considered a medical condition. No, you're just an asshole, just like the preacher.
Oh, for God's sake, you dumb bitch.
You can eat anything you want.
Just don't bother us about it.
Do you think this is a condition that this guy can only eat grilled cheese sandwiches, French fries, and waffles?
He's
actually,
he's got OCD.
Disgusting.
it's the amount of taste buds you have. Because they showed you if you could take blue food coloring and put on your tongue and you get the ring from the hole of a paper in a notebook paper and you put it on your tongue and you count how many taste buds you can see, and the fewer you have, the more stuff you can eat. The more stuff you have, the more taste buds. Things are really, really sharp tasting and stuff that you might. My younger brother had like 30. In that little ring, my mom had like 4. So you can. Huh. My mom could eat a ton of. My mom can eat most things. Jesus. My younger brother, he likes hamburgers. He likes peanut butter. Real bland foods.
So you're saying it's just genetics, whatever your taste buds are. That's why you don't eat a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So he's a food retard.
He can't eat a lot of things because the taste is just overwhelming to him.
Wow.
Hard potatoes.
I love hot potatoes.
Hard potatoes.
Hard potatoes are even better. So this guy has started a website, pickyeatingadults.com. It's an online group created by Krause, and it has over 1,500 people who have confessed their own eating habits. It says here that do they have a medical disorder? And it says that a lot of people experience embarrassment. Here's one woman that only eats French fries, potato chips, corn chips, Cheerios, baked potatoes, and milk.
All things bland.
Yeah. And she's never eaten meat, fruit, or vegetables in her entire life. She says that she's...
Hot potatoes.
She's frustrated that people don't understand... And think that they're looking for attention. No, they're just anal.
That's weird. I didn't even know people had this problem.
I know.
I mean, I've heard of picky eaters. Like, you just are picky. you know, I don't want to eat that or whatever. And there's certain things I won't try. They seem disgusting to me, but I'll try new things that sound appetizing, you know what I mean? But I guess there's some people who just eat really bland foods.
Yeah, that's what it's, like I said, the taste of it is just, I guess it's overwhelming to them. It overloads their taste buds. And I'm not saying that everybody who's a picky eater has this issue. Some of them, like you say, will claim textures and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, they're saying here Krause and that woman I just mentioned have theories on why they're picky eaters. Both say they believe it has some sort of genetic or neurological origin. Also association with obsessive compulsive disorder. But they're excited that this research, this study is going through from Duke and University of Pittsburgh to see if it's really a medical disorder, and that tomatoes are the number one public enemy for picky eaters.
That wasn't very nice, Ramsey.
Moving on, Fort Pierce, Florida. A Port St. Lucie man was arrested after he called 911 to say hi. Roger Holloway, 63, was arrested Thursday on a charge of misuse of the 911 system. According to the arrest report, Holloway called 911, told the dispatcher that he needed a ride, but then he said he was just joking and hung up the phone.
Really?
When a deputy arrived at Holloway's home, Holloway said he called 911 because he felt like it and admitted that there was no emergency. He then said that he called 911 to say hi, even though he knows he's not supposed to unless there's an emergency.
I will give you $5,000.
Hi.
Just call him to say hi.
A man who tried to kick his own shit at police officers who responded to a party at his home was sentenced to serve a year in jail.
Wait, his own
feces.
Feces.
And that's a doo-doo.
His own doo-doo
does.
That he do. Oh. Oh, that's actually making me physically ill now.
Liars, both of you.
Hey.
Get my knives. Dennis
Fight, right now,
66, must also complete an alcohol treatment or he might face another year in jail. Man, they're hard on shit kickers in North Dakota. The man was accused of defecating on a rug and attempting to kick it at the officers. His lawyer argued that a handcuffed Fike had asked to use the bathroom and been denied. Well, there you go.
Yum, yum.
He was no. He was convicted of attempting to contact a law enforcement official by bodily fluids or excrement and preventing arrest. So you can be there's an actual law that you can break by trying to kick shit at a cop. Who wrote that one?
Bunch of bullshit.
I don't think you're even allowed to look at cops the wrong way.
Let alone kick your feces at them. All right, and that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news this week.
Not a problem.
Steven, what do you think?
DVDs?
Ready to do some DVDs? Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, set out of condition! DVDs! Woo! The DVDs.
One.
Huh?
Two. Three.
And DVDs!
How can I live up to that? It's so... it's so much. It's... I'm scared to even do them now because there was such fanfare, such buildup.
I will do whatever it takes to win.
Oh, really? What do you mean?
AJ, we're all alone.
That. I love it.
Wow.
I gotta ask, Steven, when Bill called your brother a retard, did that upset you at all or whatever?
When did he call my brother a retard? He
said call his brother a retard.
He said he was a food retard. Did that upset you?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay, just checking.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry if I did.
No, I was just wondering if it was over the line, just that way of wording like that.
No, I mean, my brother, he's eating more and more different things now. I don't know what's, changed, but.
No, I guess in my own way, food retard is kind of like saying a stunted growth food eater, sort of.
I understood it. It was like, he doesn't have a palate.
Okay, I was just wondering.
That's why I understood it.
Well, if you would have said that about my sister or something, I think I would have gotten upset about it. That's what I was asking.
No.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Bill.
So DVDs for Tuesday, August 17th, 2010. Starting out with, let's find something that doesn't suck. Oh, here's one. A film from the Insane Clown Posse.
And let the doo-doo do what it does.
They did a film?
Big Money Rustlers.
The Juggalo Homies.
So it's them.
What?
As like cowboy outlaws in the West, but they're in full clown makeup.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to explain this. Just looking at the cover kind of makes me ill. I just can't believe that they have enough money that they can put something like that out.
There's so many filmmakers that are struggling to get something made. These guys. Yes, and
Big Money Rustlers. It's the DVD chart.
You know, this makes me feel like...
I have to fart!
love that.
Quality's very rare these days.
Yeah, it is. Quality's very rare.
All right, here's a British film from Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, their first foray into drama, Cemetery Junction on DVD and Blu-ray.
Jesus.
Oh, what is it? Zombies in it? Or?
No zombies or anything. Just a drama about coming of age in a little blue-collar town of Cemetery Junction.
I think it
looks pretty damn good.
I'm trying to think if I've heard of this.
I like the trailer sold me on it because it used Mata Hoople's All the Young Dudes, which I love that song. I've always loved it. But it looks good. I'm going to give it a chance. I'd like to see what Gervais and Merchant can do with drama instead of just being assholes to a dumb guy.
I can't
listen to that podcast or even watch the animation on HBO because I'm sure it's a bit they're doing with this guy and the guy's in on it, but they're just so mean to him and it's so yeah. I don't know. I just can't watch it.
I haven't really watched it, but I'm just jealous of the idea of animating a podcast. Like, that's gold, man.
It really is. I mean, come on. Somebody in our audience knows how to use Flash. Somebody animate us.
I know.
I will give you $5,000.
Yeah, Rachel will give you $5,000 to animate it for us.
Okay, there. Rachel will give it to you. We don't got it.
Really?
All I have is the bucket of this.
Sorry about that,
man. So ridiculous.
It just keeps coming. You think it's like going to end, but it doesn't.
Guys, I'm not going to add to that. I'm just going to go out back, okay?
Wouldn't you have thought before you start filling this up to figure out how to empty it before you
fill
it up?
Yeah.
I guess they didn't want to deal with it. It's like, I don't want to think about it right now. It's like, there's a lot of empty restrooms around us. Go to a new one every day.
They were waiting for the septic tank people to come empty it out during the apocalypse. Because they're still working, apparently.
Or you did get your own outhouse or something. Build your own.
Worse is my guess.
Yeah. Well, you know that's going to be rank if they don't tip it to, that stuff's just going to collect in there anyways. Ugh, never mind, okay.
Worms.
There's a re-release of, I guess Lionsgate picked up the rights to it. The Conversation, the Francis Ford Coppola film with Gene Hackman and John Cazale. And I only bring it up because of the fantastic documentary that was about John Cazale on HBO a couple weeks ago called I Knew It Was You, Rediscovering John Cazale. And anybody that is able to find it, check it out. The only down to it is that Brett Ratner's involved with it, and he actually pops up to talk about how great John Cazale is. And I just can't stand him. I can't stand the guy's face, let alone him talking about someone.
He has, like, this weird, like, underbite thing or something. I don't know. I can't explain it, but just his mouth bothers me.
His mouth bothers you?
It's like his tongue is permanently stuck, like, out of his mouth. Like, it's too big for his mouth. It's like this.
Yeah, he has that.
Yeah,
he has that weird talk. It sounds like his tongue is in the way.
His tongue is in the way.
It is. It's like, yeah. But I love Conversation. It's one of my favorite movies. And John Cazale is just freaking fantastic in it. But so is Gene Hackman. And Francis Ford Coppola did a damn good job for writing, producing, and directing on it. And it was the movie he did, was it after Godfather 2?
I'm not sure. I was thinking like it was before, but I don't know.
Was it? All right.
Help me.
Next.
Help me.
Cougar Town, the first season. I'm not a real big fan of this show, but I've watched it, it's okay. I guess maybe I should give it more of a chance because it's that the guy that did Scrubs. Is it Bill Lawrence?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's his show. He created it. And a lot of the people that have been on Scrubs have been on it. So, but I know there's a lot of stuff going around now that they're talking about changing the title. Because it's gone so much past the middle-aged women looking for young men. So I don't know if they're going to do it or if they're not going to do it.
That would be a good title. Hard Potatoes?
Hard Potatoes.
But, you know, it's got that Busy Phillips.
How would that be referencing?
You know what I mean? Busy Phillips, I can't watch it.
Yeah, I don't like her. Even whenever she showed up on Dawson's Creek, I was like, ooh, kill fire.
Where did she come from?
Anybody can act like they're attracted to her. It's like, no.
You're so beautiful. Yeah. God damn you, producers.
Yeah, it's like,
damn you, writers.
Gyllenhaal in the Dark Knight.
It's like, who am I playing opposite of? I quit.
I will cut you up in a million pieces.
Oh, dear.
All right, so on Blu-ray, we have DOA, Dead or Alive.
Which
is basically that really horrible
Dennis Quaid movie, right?
No.
Oh, damn. Ellen Barkin.
If it was that DOA, I might actually watch it.
Oh, this is the video game chicks, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, sort of. It's supposedly based on that. But I think very loosely.
I will do whatever it takes to win.
Oh, what?
But I'm not really into the whole watch a movie with skimpily clad women beating up other people, even if it does have some incredibly attractive women in it.
You just watch Busty Cops or something on Cinemax.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do Busty Cops.
What? 1, 2, 3.
I need my Jim Wynorski fix.
1, 2, 3, or Go to Hawaii, or what is another one? It's like every time
Ticket to Hawaii.
Yeah, every time I see them, the guy's like, how many of these freaking movies have they made? It's like a lucrative franchise, man. Bigger than Star Wars, I think.
It really is. Wynorski really knows how to, you know, branch out. I wonder how much money those things, if they make any money at all.
What?
Yeah, he goes by his name, Nom de Plume. He's Harold Blueberry.
Harold Blueberry. I think on what was his most recent one? Yeah, the busty cops go to Hawaii.
I want to see them just like all the other movies, like go to Japan or go to a bathhouse.
The busty cops versus the Bad News Bears.
Yeah, when he has it, go to a Russian bathhouse, just different things like that. Yeah.
Busty cops and the Jewel of Denial.
Come and get it, boys.
Wow.
I want to see Cleavage Field. it's a horror. Oh, okay, so it's a take on Cloverfield.
Yeah.
This is great.
Oh, The Devil Wears Nada.
Yep, that's a classic.
Oh, here's... Okay, his name... The one he's been using recently instead of H.R. Blueberry is Salvador Ross.
Where does he come up with these?
And in Fire From Below, he used J.R. Mandish.
So I guess it's like, should we watch these movies instead of DOA, maybe?
Yeah.
And that's a doo-doo. Do what it does.
Da Vinci Co-ed.
Yeah, at least they're clever, right?
The Witches of Brestwick.
I think The Devil Wears Nada is my favorite. That's a good title.
I like Bone Eater.
What is that a take on?
I guess...
Man Eater?
Huh? No. It was originally called Skeleton Rider. So I'm guessing it's Ghost Rider.
Oh, wow.
That's a pain in the ass.
Bone Eater. Okay, Jim Wynorski. God, I love that guy. All right, moving on.
He's a genius.
Why not go out and pick up Brendan Fraser's Furry Vengeance?
Woo!
Everything about this film is wrong.
Yeah, wow. You know what's bad? Like, when you see, like, you know, I can understand... Back in the day, you go, oh, it's a kid's movie or whatever. But when you see it's a kid's movie that even kids are like, wow, that looks bad. You know what I mean? It's just like, ugh.
It's ridiculous.
But somebody thought it was a good idea to make, too.
Not
yeah, good. Somebody said it'll make money.
Oh!
Wow.
All right, let's just skip over the whole Furry Vengeance thing. Skipping back a little bit, Friday Night Lights, the fourth season, is hitting DVD.
Oh, sweet. FNL.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it. I got to support the show.
Hell yeah. Friday Night Lights.
We all support the team.
It's only got one episode left, right?
On NBC, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I think it already aired. I think it aired entirely, didn't it?
No, I mean next season. There's only one more season.
Oh, yeah, next season is the confirmed last season.
It's not funny.
Which is sad. I'll miss all these people, but I think 5 years is good for a high school show.
Oh, totally. I never would have thought in a million years the show would have lasted this long. I remember how scared we were that it wouldn't last after one season.
I just hope that everybody moves on to... you know, better things, more money, good stuff, not, you know, empty garbage like Tim Riggins in Wolverine. That was embarrassing.
Oh, no. I thought it was a joke. I'm sorry.
No.
Should have been.
Yeah.
It was. All right. On Blu-ray, we have one of my favorite Korean films from the past couple years. It's a remake of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly called The Good, the Bad, the Weird.
Oh, yeah, I've heard a lot about this.
And it's fantastic. It's just really, really well-directed and lots of great action scenes. And it's a lot of fun. I can't recommend it enough. You know, give it a rental and check it out. It's such a fun movie.
And it's a Western, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a Korean Western.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's much better than that one that Tarantino was involved with, that Sukiyaki Western to Django.
That's been on Showtime and stuff.
Man, that was painful for me. I knew it was like they all spoke phonetic English, and I still couldn't understand them. It still needed subtitles.
Shit.
All right, next on Blu-ray is Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, running at 242 minutes.
Whoa.
That's a long one.
Really?
That's some, if you want to culture it up, you check that out, right?
I think what, 242 minutes is just shy of 4 hours?
I'll take Mel Gibson's Hamlet, thank you.
Yeah, I liked Mel Gibson's Hamlet, especially whenever he would yell at his mom.
What?
But I really love this version of Hamlet. I've watched it in like three different parts. I can't watch it in one sitting. It's difficult.
Help me.
And there's a ton of people in it, and no one person kind of steals the show. It's a really well done ensemble cast, and it's a really gorgeous film. I can't wait to see it in high def.
First, I'm going to do Hamlet. Then I'm going to do Thor. Yeah.
I've always liked Kenneth Branagh. There's just something about the dude that I've always appreciated the stuff that he does.
I really like that film he did, and I can't remember the name that he did when he was married with Emma Thompson. That is it, Dead something, where it goes black and white to color, and it's like a murder mystery.
Dead Again or something?
Dead Again. That's it. I like that. That's a good movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
What do you think, Steven?
I don't know if I've seen it or not.
It's really good.
I have to fart!
I have to fart.
Really?
Yeah. You gotta go.
I know what it's from. I just can't remember what that's from. It's not clicking, that clip.
Oh, it's from The Commitments.
The Commitments.
They're all in that van. Yes. And they're going to a gig, and he's like, I have to fart. And they're like trying to open the window. They don't get it open in time.
God, I need to watch that again. That's probably been 20 years since I've seen that.
The Commitments is a fantastic movie. I love it.
All right. Moving on. I don't even know why I mentioned this. The Last Song.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
What is
with,
it?
With Miley Cyrus.
Oh.
Disgusting.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God.
Where did this movie come from?
I think it came out my asshole.
Oh. Well, it's got Miley Cyrus in it, so.
Oh, for God's sake, you dumb bitch.
Well, that's so mean.
Disgusting.
Okay, it's disgusting. So is this the one that's based on that one guy who writes all the love stories?
God. Yeah, Nicholas Sparks.
Nicholas Sparks. I guarantee you there are people, my cousin's one of them, fans of Nicholas Sparks. They love it. Don't you think?
He has to be one of those guys that sits in his writing room and just laughs his ass off at the sappy shit that he comes up with.
Do you think the people who are fans of his books, they were like, Miley Cyrus attached to Nicholas? No! You know, it's like, no!
That's a pain in the ass.
They were probably excited about it.
Woo!
Because I think the people that read Nicholas Sparks probably listen to Miley Cyrus.
You know, I've never read his books, but I've really enjoyed. Didn't he write the book that Mandy Moore movie was based on?
I liked that, A Walk to Remember.
I did too. Yeah, that's what
I got teary eyed at that son of a bitch.
Yeah, and then I've never seen The Notebook, but I know he wrote that too.
Yeah, my mom likes The Notebook, but I just laugh at it because it's so heavy handed.
It's like you cry and stuff. It's like
old codgers dying together in their bed.
I have a clip of that.
I've been emptying the bedpan.
Sorry about that in there.
That's
worse than this.
Who's he apologizing to? The people or the earthworms?
That is. That's because you know what that sound is. It makes it worse.
Ugh. And all the plopping and the...
Is that?
It's putting a visual in my head that doesn't need to be there.
Is that worse than this?
Yeah, it actually is.
Because of the that's the extendedness of it all.
And let the doo-doo
Okay, that's enough. Okay, you're right.
That was
I've had enough.
A good moment for him to say, let the doo-doo do what it do.
I know, he screwed it up. I guess, you know, it's the nuclear flu and everything. He's got a lot on his mind.
It's nuclear flu. They couldn't have come up with a better name than that.
Can you imagine the sneezes you get from the nuclear flu? It's going to be pretty bad.
Every time you sneeze, a tiny mushroom cloud
comes out of your nose.
Glowing green boogies.
Gross. All right, moving on. Nanny McPhee on Blu-ray.
Nanny McPhee. I thought that was coming out in the theater. Or is it a different Nanny McPhee?
No, this is that's Nanny McPhee Returns.
Oh, holy shit. I had no idea it was a sequel.
Oh, yes, it was.
It's ridiculous.
Ah. Yep, I've actually seen this Nanny McPhee. It's cute.
You think my daughter would like it?
Absolutely.
Cool. It's got Emma Thompson in it.
Yeah, it's kind of goofy and it's a good family movie for a kid around 6-7 years old. Yeah, I would definitely give it a Netflix rental and see what she thinks. Maybe it might be too goofy for her. I mean, it was pretty hardcore.
I know she wants to see the new one because it has flying pigs in it. So,
well, there you go. I think she'd dig it.
Cool. All right, we'll check it out.
Because I think I may be confusing the movies, but I think like there's one kid in the group that Nanny McPhee takes care of that kind of like talks baby gibberish, but there's subtitles to it. Like it actually says something, and it's kind of a smart ass. But it's funny. It's a cute movie.
Cool.
And that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're
pretty
welcome.
Awesome. And I guess Nanny McPhee is what I'm getting, Steven. What about you?
Nanny McPhee is sold.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
No problem.
There's a wear bitch in your study.
Oh, forgot
Thank you.
About her.
Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And
still in there, I guess. Pretty hardcore, man. All right, everybody, that was episode 210 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Be sure and go to nowhereinmulberry.com and you'll find a link to our new forum. We've had a lot of people join it, Bill. It's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, and I was taking a look at it and doing a little work on it the other night, cleaning up some stuff and putting the logo up, and I was trying to figure out, you know, suggestions for different sections, but then I was thinking, you know, it's almost good that we keep it minimalized, because if you put a lot of sections on, then the posts are spread out, it's more difficult to find new ones, and
right.
I don't think it necessarily really helps the situation, so
yeah, maybe
I think I'm just going to keep kind of the general chat and everything go in there.
Yeah, maybe eventually, you know, if people participate more and we see that it is, that'll be cool. It's cool when people participate. I was thinking about making like the NIM archive part and have like links to all of our stuff there.
Yeah, I love that idea.
And you know, somebody was asking me today on Facebook, like, hey Jason, what's wrong with what's wrong with Mulberry Old School? It's not working. And I'm just like, I don't know. I never look at it. And you know,
is that's the GarageBand thing?
Yeah,
and
I need to make just clean links to the files and not have to go to the GarageBand or even the RSS feed of it, because it's very difficult. But also people, you know, I've said it before, but I said it a long time ago that what hosts Nowhere in Mulberry Old School is free, and there's a lot of episodes on there. And they've stopped allowing uploads. So, and I don't know how long it's going to last, but sometimes you've got to just try to download it more than once. You know, it times out or something, you got to try it again. So it's the free service, so you can't complain, you know.
Sometimes you even, like, go to download it, and it downloads half the file, or...
It'll just stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to try multiple times. It doesn't mean, like, I know some people have tried it, and they go, what? It doesn't work. It's broken. And it's like, no, try it again. Try it a third time. Even try it a fourth time.
Yeah,
it's
really.
It's cool if you want to listen to those old episodes, but... Fortunately, I mean, that's a lot of episodes there, hosted there.
That's a ton.
I'm telling you.
And especially for free hosting.
And I'm telling you, no time soon are we going to find a host and upload over 180 whatever shows. It would take, even if I found a new one that was free, like, hey, you can host them all here. You know how long it would take to upload that many shows?
You know what? Maybe, you know, when, sort of when or if you ever get Fios. Where it's like 2 megabytes up per second.
Right.
And it would take like a half an hour to upload all of them.
Yeah, that would be cool.
As it is now, no.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, anybody who's like, hey, this won't work or whatever, just try it again. But if you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491 or send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. How cool would that be, Steven?
Yes. Very cool.
But, you know, it's really cool, Bill, you're back, and we'll be here to talk more TV, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Good times, huh, Steven? Yeah. All right, everybody. See you next week, huh? Huh, Steven? Bill? See you guys next week.
See ya.
Laters.
Go get my knife. You can't. Right now.
Oh, no.
Let the doo-doo do what it does.
Sorry about that in there.
Bunch of bull****.